about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
La 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 la.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Tool time for 200.
This term for a long-handled gardening tool can also mean an immoral pleasure seeker. Ken.
What's a hoe?
No.
Spectacular. Just spectacular.
Yeah, that's a good one.
What the heck is up with that?
That's a good question.
We're looking for individuals from the Los Angeles area who are currently experiencing an outbreak of genital warts.
K-Rock is the greatest radio station
in the world.
Because y'all keep it funky.
And?
And juice.
You're listening to a 5-hour experimental presentation. For further information, you will need to keep listening to your radio.
Is with 2 girls and 1 cup.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, come on, dude.
Roll another one.
Man.
Mayonnaise.
Just like the other one.
Well, that's very nice.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Well, I think everything's cool.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Because that's a champion's deal.
Roll.
So confused.
Just like the other one.
I think there's a medicated powder for that.
This one seems to be about to end.
Well, I find that hard to believe.
I don't have another sense.
I tell you what, nothing says good morning like a drunken human alarm clock.
The station is rigged.
Just passing around.
But that will be definitely uncool.
And now,
but I don't see how anyone could dispute the quality of this opening ceremony. What a stunning, stunning achievement.
Our feature presentation.
What happened with the Kings tonight?
$2,000 in the garbage. 27 years of love. And God, why you gotta do me? Not even cool.
Thank you, sir.
Sir, I thank you. I'm getting the old school throwback 78 Kings skull, King's crown tattooed on my hand.
What are you doing that?
When we win.
I think it's the pacing of that interview that I love so much. Justin really moves.
It's like you bugged a stoner's party, yeah. Right? Fantastic beer mug. You never fail to amaze. Hey, party people, welcome into another Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Friday. Speaking of Good Morning Vagina, how are you, Lisa?
I'm fine. Thank you, Bean.
Good. Have another remarkable story to tell you. Remember yesterday we were talking about those kids. The boy was 15. I think maybe the girl was a little bit older, but he was just graduating from medical school, remember?
Yeah. The overachievers.
We were just talking about how unbelievably smart he is. Well, this story is not that. Here's a guy who was a regular guy, Kevin,
okay.
And then had a traumatic brain injury, got a bad concussion. In 2006, he hit his head on a swimming pool, and it was a very serious accident. He was in the hospital. He lost 35% of his hearing and suffered some memory loss. That was the downside of getting hit in the head, okay? The upside is he is the latest, and there aren't very many of these, who become savants as a result of a head injury. Now he is a world-class piano player.
That's so weird.
Did he even play before?
No. He had never played piano before in his life.
So this is somehow stimulated.
It rewires your brain is what it does. Yeah.
Why can't that happen for me? I've been banging my head on stuff my whole life.
Right. It's called acquired savant syndrome. And he says he wrote a blog about it for the Wisconsin Medical Society. He said he visited with a friend a few days after the accident, and he felt, in his words, inexplicably compelled to sit down behind the piano. It was just one of those moments when you know it was just drawing me to it. Placing his fingers on the keys, he began to play dexterously and beautifully. As I shut my eyes, I found these black and white structures moving from left to right, which in fact would represent in my mind a fluid and continuous stream of musical notation.
That's crazy.
I've heard of people before who can see the music. I mean, right. They're basically just following the bouncing ball. They're playing what their brain is telling them to play, but it's visual, which I think is amazing too. My fingers began to scale the piano keys as if I had been playing all my life. I can't explain the feeling of awe that overcame my entire being, although I can tell you the expression on my friend's face was enough to put us both in tears. Isn't that insane?
That's crazy. A bump to the head.
Bump to the head, yeah. He's hoping that he's working on an album, and he's hoping that his music and his story will inspire others. I don't know what it's supposed to inspire us to do except for to bang our heads against the swing pool.
A bunch of people out there going, if I could just hit my head in the right way.
Yep.
What could go wrong there?
I think that's cheating. I'm not even going to listen to his music.
Yeah,
He didn't practice for 10,000 hours.
Right.
Haven't we heard about people who can wake up and speak another language?
Yes.
Now, how does that happen if you've never committed any of those words to memory? If you've never learned that, taken that language before?
Yeah, how would your brain know?
How would your brain know
it's
those
bizarre.
Words?
Maybe it's just one of those things where the subconscious has so much more information than we can ever access. Who knows? I mean, it doesn't make sense.
There's another guy.
It has to be something there, right?
Yes.
It has to be
there somewhere.
There was another guy that was mentioned in one of the video reports that I saw on this story, because I was looking for a demonstration of him playing piano, and strangely, I couldn't find that. But there was another guy that they mentioned who had far more profound downside. He, for instance, couldn't speak anymore after his head injury.
No, that's more my speed.
And this is not a trade-off that I would take, but he can make unbelievably accurate miniature clay figurines.
That's it? That's his upside? That's the upside?
That was the skill? That's his acquired savant skill, is that he can look at a horse, and while he's looking at it in like 3 minutes, he can take a block of clay and basically with his hands carve it out to identically replicate that horse.
That guy got ripped off.
He got way ripped off compared to the dude who can play piano, yeah.
Wow.
Matt, I mean... Imagine wondering if you got any upside. Like, what's my acquired savant skill? And then you find out that it's I can make clay horses.
Can I speak any language? You know,
can I start solving the world's biggest math problem?
No, but I...
How fast can I run? No?
I can make little horse figurines.
Clay horses. So anyway, I'm curious to hear what this guy's record sounds like, but his name is Derek Amato. He's from Colorado, so he's our... friend who's a musical genius now, thanks to being a terrible swimmer / diver.
That's crazy. Man, I need that. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Hey, that's quite a voice you've got there. You ever think about doing radio?
We have iced tea in the studio today.
That's right.
Oh, I love him so much.
The Art of War, The Art of Rap is the name of his movie, and it's fascinating.
Did you watch it?
Yeah. It's fascinating. He talks to almost everybody, from old school all the way up. He talks to Eminem. He talks to, you know, Rakim and just everybody along the way that was influential.
Mm-hmm.
Almost, although he didn't talk to Jay-Z. Did you watch it, B?
I did. I noticed there was no Jay-Z. I noticed there was no Beastie Boys. I mean, there were a few people
out,
but in general, it was a pretty good cross-section of legends and current stars, too. You know, Dr. Dre and Snoop and Kanye and all those guys were all in the movie. I wanted more of it.
I did too. Yeah. That was my thinking exactly. Is he would interview Kanye and use 2 minutes of it in the movie,
right.
And you go, well, there's got to be more of that.
Yeah, that's Kanye for God's sake.
But it's also a lot of fun to watch any band that I'm interested in or music genre or whatever. The writing of and the process of coming up with the lyrics and stuff like that is fascinating to me. And he asked a lot of artists how they do that. What's your headspace? What is it that you like to get? What situation you like to get in?
Snoop needs pot and chicks.
I need weed and I need chicks. You know what I mean? And I thought to myself, I know what you mean.
Yeah. But how is that different from everything else he needs all the time, even when he's not working on music?
It's fascinating. So we'll talk to Ice-T about that. We have Taylor Stevens on the program today. She's the blonde with the... cans o' plenty that are behind the Devil's Bench at the Kings game.
But how do we feel about this, by the way? Because the one game she shows up at is the one game the Kings lose.
So I don't know that you could pin the whole thing on her, though.
I don't know. The coach might have been extra excited that night because he was one foot away from her.
That could be
For New Jersey. So I don't know what I don't know what to do with her except the obvious.
Sure, we have Sam Trammell, who plays Sam Merlot on True Blood.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited about that coming back. We have comedian Scott Aukerman on the program today. We have Jason Schwartzman on the program today.
Wow.
Talking about Moonrise Kingdom.
A lot of show.
We have the Movie Beat and a lot more. So keep listening. We'll take a quick break and we will come back with the showbiz. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. This is the world famous K-Rock and it is 5:52.
By the way, we also have Jack White tickets to give away on today's Kevin and Bean Show. How about that? How do you like us now?
Yeah. Not sure, so there. Right?
Not sure we're going to be able to squeeze that in.
Come try. The Shrine Auditorium in August. We'll tell you more. Plus, Jake Johnson from New Girl talks about his new film called Safety Not Guaranteed. That's coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. Hey, Ralph.
What a good time it is for small little films.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. Check out that film. I enjoyed that enormously. That Safety Not Guaranteed. You know what else I liked was Moonrise Kingdom. Movie starring Jason Schwartzman. We're talking to him later on today about that. Yeah. So I thought that was excellent. I really enjoyed that.
Good.
A lot going on in terms of smaller films you can check out in theaters. It takes a little work. You got to seek them out, but sometimes it's worth it. Or you can go see Battleship.
Which was good.
No. Nope. Philip Phillips, winner of American Idol, is on the mend after undergoing a 6.5-hour surgery to remove a bunch of monster kidney stones.
Whoa.
Dude. This dude has had kidney problems for some time now. He had them off and on during the competition. But apparently he is resting, and he says ready for the Idol tour to kick off in July. Well, there's a dark cloud to every silver lining, and I guess that's it. That's what you get for being an American Idol, man. Kidney stones. Don't do it.
He was in and out of the hospital like 5-6 times or something during the competition, right?
Yes.
Wow. It's amazing he did as well as he did.
I mentioned earlier in the week that John Mayer's ticked off at Taylor Swift for her Dear John song. This would have been awesome. Apparently they almost ran into each other on Tuesday night. He did in the interview and said that it was a lazy songwriting and it was kind of a cheap shot that she took with that song.
It's a weak song.
Sid is a weak song. So they end up in the same...
Have you guys heard it?
Yeah.
Yes.
They end up in the same restaurant in West Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
And he's sitting there with a date with a smoking hot girl. Apparently, she walks in and goes into full blown drama mode and demands to be sat on the other side of the restaurant. And she wants to make sure there's a partition put up, and she wants all these special arrangements so that she doesn't see John or run into him in any way. That's why I wish her cartoon death. That's why she needs a cartoon death.
Yes.
Ryan Gosling, you gotta love this guy.
I do.
You do?
No, I really, really, really do.
Everything you hear about him just makes him seem nicer and better. He's also quite the mama's boy. He was in Ontario, Canada this week, where he's from, to watch his mom graduate with her bachelor's degree in education from Brock University. She finally got her degree. Word is he was in the audience, jumped to his feet, clapped, took pictures as she received her diploma. And, of course, his girlfriend Eva Mendez was right there by his side. Mm-hmm. So.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
That's the deal.
And word is that porn star Kim Kardashian is making life a living hell for the staff of her boyfriend Kanye West.
Really?
Huh. Yeah. I wonder how. You know, Kanye's currently on tour and she's right by his side. And now she is using his staff as hers.
Oh, man.
According to sources, she makes his bodyguards hold her bags during shopping trips. One source claims. Refuses to eat any produce that hasn't been purchased that same day by the staff and likes to give his employees an endless list of tasks to complete. She's a good time.
Wow.
I don't care how hot she is. She's not that hot.
I agree.
Nobody's that hot. Cartoon death. Simon Pegg from Star Trek says he has discovered the best way for men to stay in shape and lose weight. Quit drinking.
What else? What else does
that's
he have?
That's what I say. That's not an option.
What else does he have?
He quit drinking, apparently, after Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol with Tom Cruise. Back in 2010, he says he doesn't miss it in the slightest. That's the best way you can ever ditch empty calories, he claims. That's how he got back in shape for Star Trek and his other films he's got coming up. So, if you want to lose weight, stop drinking. That's not happening.
Beer mug.
Do a lot of cocaine, which speeds up your metabolism. Which counteracts all the alcohol that you drink.
I think doctors will back that.
The good ones will, yes. And there's been a spike in the sales of neckties. Necktie sales are rising.
What would cause that?
Good
question.
Father's Day
next week?
Kevin. No. They've done a little research, and it turns out that neckties are featured prominently in the best-selling porn book 50 Shades of Grey that all the ladies are reading. Women now are buying neckties in order to reproduce some of their favorite moments from their favorite book.
This is just out of hand.
Women are buying more of the accessories used in the book, say retailers, including clotheslines have gone up in sales.
This does not sound good for guys.
Riding crops?
I don't think that sounds good for women.
For anything.
Handcuffs?
Yeah.
And silver gray men's ties.
Like
even Brooks Brothers has been getting in on the fun. They recently issued a statement saying, we may not have 50 shades of gray ties, but we do have 8 shades of gray ties. So come and buy your ties here.
What you need to do, if you're single, when you go over to a girl's apartment, you know, or house or whatever, you got to do a quick search for that 50 shades of gray. Make sure to see if she has it. And you know what you're in for.
You're in for a good time if she has. That's what you're in for. Pick up the riding crop and get out the clothesline. And we were just talking about Kanye West. He's a birthday boy today, but people are camping outside stores to buy his new sneakers. They go on sale this weekend. They are Kanye West's Air Yeezy 2s.
Air Yeezy 2.
The second level of Air Yeezy. Shoes retail for $245.
Wow.
But most stores say they are throwing in the riding for free. So you get a little bonus if you hang out this weekend looking for those shoes. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kanye West, as I mentioned, is 35 years old today as he celebrates his birthday. Juliana Margulies, that Good Wife. Man, that's a good television show. She's 45. Nick Rhodes of Dran Dran is 50 years old. Kenan Ivory Wayans of the acting Wayans family is 54 years old. Dilbert cartoonist Scott Adams, 55. Never funny once, Dilbert. Not once.
That's one of the ones you hate.
He really could have cartoon death, right?
He should get it. He should be buried by a stack of his own cartoons. That would be ironic and a cartoon death. Joan Rivers is 79 years old today. And comedian Jerry Stiller, who's not only has had a long, illustrious career, of course, probably best known as George Costanza's dad on Seinfeld.
Right.
He is the father of Ben Stiller, so an illustrious showbiz family there. He is 85 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 25 minutes after 6.
And you are also listening to Ralph Garman with the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching.
One man.
Is that a surprise?
Who risked everything.
Timing. Sorry, I have not seen any of your
timing.
Films.
Without seeing the movies.
Full flow.
Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome
timing.
To my world.
Timing.
We'll
timing.
We'll fix that in post. Don't worry.
Tighten that up. Don't worry about it. There's a couple new movies in Southland Cineplexes this weekend. Definitely worth checking out. Let's start with Peace, Love, and Misunderstanding. See what they did there?
Oh, that's crazy.
This is directed by one of my longtime fave directors, Bruce Beresford. He is back, and he's got some interesting cast members in this film. Jane Fonda. Catherine Keener. She's great in everything she does. Elizabeth Olsen, also in this film. The basic premise is Catherine Keener plays an uptight New York City lawyer who takes her two teenagers to her mother's farmhouse in upstate New York. But thing is, mom is a hippie. Was a hippie in the 60s, never gave it up. Is a long time hippie. So as you can imagine, there's some friction between the hippie mom and her uptight New York City lawyer daughter. It's a comedy for the ladies. Here's a little scene from some clips from the trailer from Peace, Love, and Misunderstanding.
If you are not open to the possibility of love, you're fooling yourself.
Your dad asked me for the divorce, not the other way around.
Can you blame him?
It's difficult for kids to accept that their parents are human.
So now you're playing the protective parent.
You're so busy fighting everyone that you don't realize most of the time they're not fighting me back.
Oh, you want me to just let go?
Yes, exactly.
Kevin is not going to want to hear this because she's old, but Jane Fonda has always been a great actress.
Yes, absolutely. And she looks to give a great performance in this as well.
Can she be in a different movie than that one?
She can, and she will.
All right.
You know, what I'm looking forward to her most is she's playing the head of the news agency in the upcoming Newsroom show on HBO.
Oh, that looks good.
That show with Jeff Daniels, so that looks real good. Also opening in theaters this weekend for the kids, Madagascar 3. Oh, our lovable animals are back that we love from Madagascar. There's a a hippo, and there's a some sort of bird animal, and a tiger, a liger, I think, or I don't know. I don't know anything about this.
But this
series,
is a win. This is going to be big, and the kids will love it, right?
You bet.
Sure. Ben Stiller is in it. Chris Rock, David Schwimmer. Everybody's got to get back home from where they were.
They
from
sure
the
can't
last
get
movie.
Home.
They were not at home last movie. I know that much. Because they're going home now, but they can't get there even this time.
What?
Because they're trying to get back to New York City, and apparently they end up in Europe. Oh, those crazy animals. Here's the thing I know about wild animals. Bad sense of direction. If you drop them off in a foreign country, they have a hard time getting home.
That's true.
Via plane and other modes of transportation. Here's a scene from Madagascar 3 where Ben Stiller and Chris Rock are arguing over who will be the leader of the gang as they rescue their animal friends and try to head back home.
In exactly 2 minutes and 17 seconds, the lemurs will cut the power.
No?
No.
Okay?
No.
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 I drop down, grab the penguins. You crank me up, and we are out of here.
Oh, oh, oh! Let me drop down. I'll grab the penguins.
You don't have fingers, Marty.
No?
No.
Do it?
No.
These are things a leader has to think of.
Why should you be a leader? Why not me?
Because I'm the phase tracker.
Who voted you Grand Phase Master anyway?
Me. I voted me, because I'm the leader.
Lot of arguing animals.
In that world of these kind of movies, these are pretty good.
There you go. I have not seen it, but Kevin likes it. Safety not guaranteed. We're just talking to Jake Johnson about this film. This thing I can wholeheartedly recommend. Three magazine employees head out on an assignment to interview a guy who has placed a classified ad in the newspaper seeking a companion for time travel. And that guy is not Bean. I find it completely hard to believe.
We're not positive about that yet.
I wish I'd thought of it. It sounds like a great plan.
Here's some clips from Safety Not Guaranteed.
I'm certain I'm being recorded. I'm certain I'm being followed.
What's wrong with this guy?
What makes you think there's something wrong with him?
Because he thinks he can go back in time.
What are you going back for?
The mission has to do with regret, mistakes.
No matter how tempting it will be, we're never, ever going to say, hey, leave your Star Wars figurines in the box because it'll be worth like hundreds more.
So, Kenneth, why are you looking for a partner?
The world is mostly full of jank holes.
I think you're ready. I trust you.
It's my hope that if you're watching this video, something incredible has happened.
Great film. Really worth checking out. I really enjoyed it.
Didn't see it, but both you and Bean saw it and loved it.
Yeah. And also opening up this weekend, the big movie of the weekend, Prometheus, is in theaters.
Can't wait.
Michael Fassbender, Charlize Theron, Guy Pearce. What a great cast. Great director Ridley Scott. It is a prequel to Aliens. Here is the premise, basically. A team of explorers trying to find clues to the origins of mankind end up on a journey in the darkest corners of the universe where they come across a terrifying entity that they must battle in order to try to save the human race. Prometheus. Here are some scenes from that trailer.
These are ancient civilizations.
They're smiling.
I think they want us to come and find them.
We're all here because of a map you two kids found in a cave.
Not a map. An invitation.
From whom?
Prometheus, are you seeing this?
These things moving?
They're leaving.
To go where?
Earth.
We were so wrong.
Take us home! If you don't stop me, they won't give you home to go back to.
Where's that door open?
Why is it Chris Rock and Ben Stiller? Why aren't they yelling at that movie, too?
Oh, boy. Prometheus looks great.
Yes, it does.
Don't go chasing waterfalls on foreign planets. That's what I have to tell you. Don't look for old creatures that gave birth to humanity because they don't like us.
You don't have to have seen any of the Alien movies for Prometheus, right? You can go in cold. Okay.
This stands alone, but I would, after I see this, mm-hmm, then go see the Alien movies afterwards because it'll give you a nice foundation for the backstory behind what happens and why we're being hunted.
Yeah.
Yeah, check it out this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman's movie beat.
I'll carry you home tonight.
Tonight.
I'm not sure that song was meant to be sung that way, but
that's
all right.
That's how it's going to be done at the opera.
Very enthusiastic, Ralph. Thank you. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. So much show today. Funny man Scott Aukerman is going to be joining us, talking about his new comedy, Bang Bang. Bang, bang, bang. Also, Ice-T in studio, discussing his new film called The Art of Rap. Sam Trammell from True Blood in just a few minutes. Taylor Stevens is going to be joining us. Ralph, you're a fan of Miss Stevens' work,
yeah,
I'm sure, right?
Yeah, I sure am.
She is the porn star who put him on the glass at Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final, trying to do everything she could to distract the New Jersey Devils bench. She didn't do enough. I think the top needs to come off for Game 5.
Put something else on the glass.
So we will discuss all of that with her
this,
coming up here.
You know what I'm saying, Kevin? You know what I'm saying? Put this up on the glass.
I understood when you said it.
You sure?
Yep.
Yoo-hoo.
Pretty sure.
Yeah.
So I think we all got it. All
right. Got that.
We are on a hold in a moment. Our friend Jason Schwartz.
Oh, Schwartzy.
You go see this yesterday, Ralph?
Yeah, I did. Loved this film. Wes Anderson is just so great. He's always so unique. You know, you don't confuse a Wes Anderson film with anybody else.
Nope.
Movies.
He's got a unique look to him. That's
yeah, and this film is even, I think, more stylized than his usual stuff. And the set, especially the home that Bill Murray's character lives in, remarkable piece of stage mechanics. I'm not quite sure how they filmed it, but it's one of those things that just the camera just floats around and you go from room to room
Cool.
And it does a 360 and you see everybody in all the different rooms. It's just remarkable. The cinematography in this is really sort of fascinating, and it's applied to tell a very sort of simple story. So it's an interesting combination.
What's it about?
The basic premise is there is a young man in what is called the Khaki Scouts, a thinly veiled version of the Boy Scouts, basically, mm-hmm. on this island where these people live. It's 1965, and this kid goes AWOL from the Khaki Scouts. He splits, and the whole island becomes involved in trying to find him and find out why he has run away, basically.
And then Walt shows up and he talks backwards.
It's a very different film.
Yeah. Oh. But you were saying before he joined us on the phone here that Schwartzman, as always, is the weak link in the film, Ralph.
That's not what I said at all. You know I love Schwartzman, and he's adorable in this film, as he always is.
No, it's true, though.
You're adorable.
Hi.
Hi, Jace.
Hi, Jace.
How are you guys?
We are good.
We miss you.
Hey, I missed you guys, too. I'm sorry that I couldn't be there in person.
As are we.
I know. He usually brings good baked goods.
We'll do it next time.
Yeah.
Jason has been out there last couple of weeks making sure everybody knows about this new collaboration with Wes Anderson. I love the fact that he has, and there are a few directors who do this, he has a stable of people that he calls, that he wants in his movies, and you guys, I assume, just say yes. You don't even know what the movie's about. I just love the experience. You always make great movies. I'm in, right?
That is true. I mean, I am a fan of his movies. I love all the movies, and you know what I mean? Like, to me, I'm honored to be in them. I think that, like, he does make, like, I love his like, the ratio of, I guess, funny to unfunny.
Yeah.
Like, when you're watching it, I just sort of think, like, the movies are so, you know, you're laughing, and then a moment later you're like, wait, what's happening? This is crazy. You know what I mean? I like that. I like the way he makes movies. And I also think that, yeah, like the making of the movie is just as important to Wes as the movie you're trying to make. So he does, you know, like he on his sets there are no trailers.
Is that right?
You know, on a typical movie set. Well, because he feels that, like, we should all be there together and hang out and talk, and it should be much more like a community type feeling, and so there are no trailers. The actors are all just hanging out. It's a super small crew that, so like if you were to happen upon the crew walking, let's say in the woods,
right,
while they're making a movie, it would just look like you know, like a slightly bigger version of like the Blair Witch Project.
is he running a cult?
And also, like, and all the actors live together in a house and all eat together around a dining room table at night. So it's really like, I think that's why, like, having a lot of the actors come back is an effort to kind of make it feel, you know, fun.
You know, Jason, what struck me about this film is I think it may be Wes's most heartfelt film. This is filled of just decent, kind people. Almost everyone to a character is just. Sometimes when you have a movie about an adolescent who's going up against grown-ups or authority figures, or whatever, usually the grown-ups are dicks. But everyone in this film is just so genuinely nice.
Yeah, I know. I think that like I was listening to Wes talk about this movie, and he was saying that typically when he goes to make a movie, it'll start, like, he'll have an idea for a character and think about this person and then kind of build a movie around that person. But he said that with this movie, it started with this a feeling, like wanting to make a film about the nostalgic feeling of falling in love for the first time.
Right.
And I think that, and he built the movie around that, and I think maybe that is why there is that what you're talking about, like a real emotional thing there. And I do feel it when I watch the movie. I do feel like it reminds me of having a crush when I was a young person.
Sure.
On Sherilyn Fenn.
This is the voice of our friend actor Jason Schwartzman. We're talking about his film in limited release right now called Moonrise Kingdom. And all of Wes's movies, too, they're so beautiful, aren't they, Ralph? I mean, you just look up there and you could almost freeze frame it at any point in the movie and you've got a gorgeous photograph. I don't know how he does that. There's never a bad-looking scene.
This film almost feels like it comes from a different era, too, because it takes place in the 60s. It feels like it was almost shot then.
Yeah, and I think, too, it's because they shot it. Like, they shot it in Rhode Island and these kind of rural parts of Rhode Island, and they sort of are preserved just anyway. Like, just the landscape is so preserved-looking, and I think that adds to it as well.
Jason, let me ask you this question. I know we only have another minute here, but are any of these...
I want everything.
are any of these stories about your good friend Bill Murray true that go around where he walks up behind someone and whispers in his ear that no one will ever believe you that this happened and things like that? Do you know anything about those stories ever actually happening, or do they just get made up and passed around on the internet?
Well, I don't know like which ones specifically you're talking about, and actually I don't know a lot of the stories, but I will tell you this, that he lives his life in a way that is totally like I wish I could be, you know what I mean? Like, he is the coolest person in the world. You don't even know, like, I would describe him almost as some kind of an angel, like, who just shows up. Like, an example, when we were making Bored to Death, season one of Bored to Death, we were shooting a scene, like, way out in Brooklyn. And I'm being chased by these skateboarders, and we're in the middle of, like, nowhere, and this person comes up and says, excuse me, Bill Murray's in that car over there. He'd want to say hi to you. And I'm like, what? And all of a sudden, I just see a hand come out of this car and wave to me. I walk over, and there's Bill Murray, like, in a Cubs jacket with his kids going, oh, what are you guys shooting over here? He got out of the car, and he hung out for, like, 20 minutes. Made everybody laugh, got his car, and then drove away. Like some kind of like an apparition of comedy or something. Like, who is this man?
Is it true that he has no agent, it's hard to get a hold of him, all that?
Yeah, he's untraceable. He's like some kind of like he's like a weird vigilante of love.
He's living off the grid.
Does his job and then leaves again. He's the coolest. Honestly, he is the coolest. And like, I cannot believe, like, I don't ever tell him this. I don't want to make him uncomfortable. But, like, there have been times we'll be doing, like, I've sat next to him and we'll do an interview and he'll say, yeah, Jason and I have been, and he kind of, like, points to me and I'm pretending to, like, just be involved in the interview, but in my mind I'm going, Bill Murray knows who I am. and it is true. It's like growing up in the 80s, I've never known a life without Bill Murray in it. I mean, he's always been in my life. He's this famous, amazing person, and it still is a trip that I know this man, and I love him. And one time I sat next to him in a car ride, and we got stuck. We were going to do press, and we got stuck in traffic, and it was late, and he fell asleep. And it was like a 30-minute car ride, and I just watched him sleep for like 30 minutes.
Now we're getting creepy.
Now you're over the line.
Now it's a bit creepy.
No, it's not over the line. It was beautiful. I didn't touch him.
Yeah, you touched him a little.
Hey, Jason,
I didn't take a single picture. All I did was sketch him.
It may have sounded like a question when we said it was creepy. It was not a question.
The film is called Moonrise Kingdom. It is in theaters now. The great Bill Murray, the great Bruce Willis, Ed Norton, Frances McDormand, Tilda Swinton. What a cast. Jason Schwartzman, and of course, from the beautiful mind of Wes Anderson. Listen, anytime, Jason, come on by. We'd like to spend a little bit more time with you. Thanks for calling.
Honestly, I miss you. I'm sorry that I couldn't be there. I always love coming to see you. So
we love having
no
you.
No problem, man. We'll have a great weekend, dude.
All right, you too, guys. You too. Have a great one.
Thank you.
Ralph, you're watching the puppy cam. You've been on the Shiba Inu puppy cam. It's
what?
All the rage.
I don't
understand a word that just came out of your mouth.
Me either, but he's been talking about it all morning. I don't know what it is.
The puppy cam that the people set up, and they got a new litter of the Shiba Inu puppies.
Dave had it on his computer yesterday.
Oh, my God, it's the best thing you've ever seen in your life. They just finished feeding, and now they're all rolled up in a big ball for a nap. It's so cute.
Shiba Inu?
Yes. It's a type of little dog. They're so cute.
Why is this a conversation? Why is this happening?
Because you're a dog fan. I wondered if you'd been watching
it. Is this Inception? Am I in the fourth level or something?
No, this is real.
You're a dog fan. Bean just said.
This is happening?
Yes.
I tweeted
and it's been happening for an hour.
My alarm's going to go. I hit the snooze again, didn't it? And my alarm's going to go off.
No, this is actually happening.
I just thought you might enjoy it because all the puppies are now sleeping. It's the cutest thing you've ever seen. All right, Ralph is here. Time for the show. Oh man,
look at
that. Lay me off.
But that showbiz beat. That technically means you have to go away.
That's right. He's playing you off.
Sorry.
Well, that was time well used.
Yes.
In the 3 minutes of showbiz beat that I have. Charlize Theron talking to Conan O'Brien this week. It's funny. I remember this. Do you remember when she was trying to raise money for her South African charity?
Yes.
And she auctioned off a dinner date with herself where you could go and bid, and whoever the high bidder was, she would meet you for dinner, and you would donate the money, and everyone would go away happy.
Didn't you bid, Ralph, didn't you bid $7,500 and then not go?
No, that was Bean with Scarlett Johansson.
Oh.
Yeah. I did bid on this, however, and then didn't get close to the final amount. I think it was almost $100,000 or something this went
for.
Wow. Oh, my God.
So she was talking about that adventure with Conan O'Brien. He brought it up, and she said she will never, never volunteer her services to charity by going out with someone on a blind date again, because that experience was terrible.
Oh, no.
Said she was stuck going to dinner with a strange, weird man who gave her the creeps.
Maybe it was Bean.
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe I was outbid by Bean. You know, Scarlett Johansson could have been telling this story if Bean had just had the balls to go to New York.
First of all, I'm not creepy, but second of all, if I had won this and gone on a date with Charlize, believe me, you would know about it. I would have talked about it. This was not me.
She said from now on, she's simply going to donate the money herself to charity instead of volunteering her time. So Charlize will never do that again, which makes me sad because that's probably the only chance I'll ever have to go on a date with Charlize.
Yeah.
Simon Cowell. Now maybe thinking he made a mistake hiring Britney Spears.
Fantastic.
Should have listened to us.
According to Us Weekly magazine, he is concerned because they've started filming the show, and she is overly nice to every contestant, apparently, on the show.
Yeah.
His biggest concern was in the moment she told one just fair singer that he will be the next Justin Bieber.
Oh, my God.
So apparently she's going overboard with the compliments. Maybe she's trying to make herself look nice or good on television or whatever, but it's not serving.
Doesn't make for good TV.
It's not serving the show very well, so he's got some concerns.
I was underimpressed.
Yeah. Today we'll find out for sure what's happening with this legality, but I think CBS has a pretty good case. I told you about this before. ABC is going to air this show called Glass Houses.
Okay.
About people who live in a house together, and then they'll get evicted one at a time, and we'll watch it on television and watch them living together, and then at the end, the roommate who survives will get a big cash payout at the end.
So is this a new concept?
It's a brand new concept.
Sound like anything I've ever heard.
Glass Houses is the name of the show. Well, CBS begs to differ. They seem to think it sounds a little something like a show they like to call Big Brother. Over there on CBS.
Oh, yes, that is exactly the same.
That's right. Well, here's where the similarities end, however. Glass Houses has employed 19 employees from Big Brother to produce their show. So there really is no similarity whatsoever. ABC was going ahead with it anyway. CBS last night slapped them with a temporary restraining order.
How about that?
They were going to preview the show this Saturday and then start airing it weekly next week. And CBS said, look, seriously, don't do that. They go, oh, no, we're going to do it. No, seriously, don't do that. That's, you're just ripping off a show. Don't do it. No, we're going to do it. So now they went ahead and slapped them with a restraining order. So now the courts will have to decide starting today.
It's rare that they do something that obvious.
It's
really
just bald face. Just taking it. Yeah. So we'll see what happens in the court. I guess we'll start deciding. This is a temporary restraining order, so we'll see what the final results are.
Is Julie Chen the host?
She is, oddly enough. It's really, really similar. Glass Houses. Come on. They say this is different because you can tell the people in the house what to do.
All right.
And I say, but they do that on Big Brother, too. They have moments where they call in and they tell them what to do. So wait and see. While we're talking about Charlize, I neglected to bring this up. You know, this Hatfields and McCoys show on History Channel, which was a huge miniseries for them, starring Kevin Costner and Bill Paxton.
Yep.
Charlize has the rights to a TV series version of that feud, which she is updating to present day.
Okay.
She'll be producing the show, not starring in it. But the premise is basically two families who are feuding with each other and killing each other, but it's a present-day updated version of that instead of the old-timey Civil War version, which I think maybe have more appeal to more people.
Sure.
So, interesting concept. NBC apparently picking that up.
I think I heard that the descendants of the real Hatfields and McCoys feuded well into the 20th century and really only kind of settled it between the survivors a few years ago.
Like yes,
it continued into the 30s and 40s.
It came down to water balloons, which
really?
I yeah, they kind of
what they did.
That's
took the spunk out of it really towards the end. It was a pie eating contest and water balloons.
Not the same.
Not much of a feud. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kanye West is 35 years old today. Juliana Margulies celebrates her 45th birthday. Nick Rhodes of Duran Duran is 50. Keenan Ivory Wayans celebrates his 54th birthday. Joan Rivers, the comedian, is 79. And comedian Jerry Stiller turns 85 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
There's a shapeshifter in the other room, man. Be careful.
Not actually a shapeshifter. It's actually really? Just an actor.
Yeah. Okay, I hope you're right. We're going to talk all things True Blood with actor Sam Trammell coming up here on the Kevin Amin Show in about 10 minutes. First, though, Lisa May, do you remember when we talked to Jackson Galaxy? He is Cat Daddy. Do you remember Cat Daddy from a few
Cat
weeks
Daddy,
ago?
Yes.
He is the host of My Cat from Hell on Animal Planet, which is coming back at the end of this month. He wrote the book called Cat Daddy, What the World's Most Incorrigible Cat Taught Me About Life, Love, and Coming Clean. And he joins us once again here on the Kevin Amin Show. Hey, Jackson Galaxy,
I'm Cat
how are
Daddy,
you?
Hi.
Hi,
yes.
Cat Daddy.
I am
yes,
Cat Daddy. Hi.
Hi.
Refresh
Hi.
Our listeners' memories. How many cats do you have, Mr. Galaxy?
Right now?
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
Let me look around real quick. I'm guessing 48, 49 cats.
Wow, that's a lot.
Hey, that doesn't
not
seem
enough
like
in
hoarding.
My opinion, because I'm Cat Daddy. Hi.
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 But isn't that hoarding? That can't be fun for the cats. That's
no,
too
I've got
many,
a,
right?
I've got a sweeping cat estate here. There's plenty of room and food and love for everyone.
I see.
I'm Cat Daddy. Hi.
Right. You are, right. You told us a little
Husker
bit about
Husker Du. Husker Du, get off the couch, please. You're putting a hole in my pillow, my throw pillow. Okay.
You told us last time about some of the things that cats have taught you, and now
yes.
You're calling to promote Adopt a Shelter Cat Month.
Everyone should have a cat, in my opinion. There are 86.4 million pet cats in the United States.
That's too many.
That means we win, because there's only 78.2 million pet dogs. So obviously, people love cats. Hi, I'm Cat Daddy. Unfortunately, 70% of cats arriving at animal shelters are euthanized. Oh, that's okay, Mrs. Ambien. It's all right.
Mrs. Ambien?
Mrs. Ambien?
Yeah, one of my cats, Mrs. Ambien.
Hmm.
So only 2% are reunited with their owners. So that means there's a lot of cats who are being put down who really need a home. So everyone should go get a cat today, because June is Adopt a Shelter Cat Month. Hi,
right.
Cat Daddy. Hi.
Right. Hi. Yeah.
What about what people say?
Hold on
hey.
One second. Sudoku, I will feed you in a minute. Just hold on. I'm doing a radio interview. Hi, I'm Cat Daddy. Hi.
We already started.
I can't imagine what feeding time must be like at the Galaxy
well, I don't
house.
Feed them all at the same time. That's crazy. I
of
do
course.
It in shifts.
What about what people say that, hey, I just don't, the cats don't like me, I don't like cats, they're kind of aloof, they're no fun.
If you don't
fun.
Like cats, you've never met one, that's what I say.
I'm a cat.
Cat Daddy, hi.
I've met a cat and I hate cats.
They are not cold and aloof as some people believe. They're playful and affectionate and cuddling. They're great companions. So everyone go out and go to a shelter and adopt a cat today, right, Lieutenant Beanbag?
Yeah.
Don't you think so? Yes. Lieutenant Beanbag says yes.
Lieutenant Beanbag agrees with you.
That's right.
All right.
What about the fact that cats sleep all the damn time? You don't really play with them like you would play with a dog.
No, they're only asleep 13 to 16 hours a day. The rest of the time, they're up and at them, and they have lots of fun. Listen, look at the upside. You don't need to walk a cat.
Right.
Right.
Cats cost less money.
Sure.
It's thousands of dollars less to raise a cat than it is a dog.
Well, that's because they're worse.
Isn't that right, Lucy Ling? Yes, that's right. Lucy Ling
Lucy
says
Ling.
Yes.
All right.
And and because you can have them if you just have an apartment. They're great indoor pets.
Yeah, as long as you don't want your furniture torn apart.
As long as you don't mind the smell of cat pee.
Yeah, that's not good.
Well,
it?
There is that.
Woo!
There is that.
Does my house smell like cat pee?
Is that I
right,
bet it
Captain
does.
Knuckles? That's right. Yes, you pee everywhere, don't you?
Captain Knuckles?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've got a lot of cat boxes.
I'll bet you do.
Not enough time to change them all.
Oh.
Well, with 48 cats, I imagine that's a problem.
And Cheetos nasty. And Snickers and Dr. Clanger. We're very busy here at Cat Manor.
How did you name Dr. Clanger?
Turned out he went after my nads one day. Hit me right in the clangers. And he had the sharp precision of a surgeon, too, with those very razor-sharp claws.
No, no, no.
And he shredded my scrotum.
Well,
Cat Daddy, hi.
Yes, you are.
Come on. That's what I'm talking about right here.
There it is. Room 1, 5th season, Sunday night at 9 on HBO.
When you came in, the air went out.
Sam Trammell joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Sam, you tired of this song yet? You done with it?
He can't hear you. Hang on, I'm going to
help him with his headphones. Oh, good work, Mark.
Kind of blew that whole setup there, didn't we?
Hang on, let me go back to the beginning. It's the world famous K-Rock.
Is that better?
Hey!
Sam, you hear us now?
I'm here now.
All right, good.
All the air has been let out of my big intro now. I don't think I can recreate the magic.
Oh, no. What did you say?
Try it.
Just lots of good things about how the show is coming back for season 5 this Sunday night on HBO. And Sam, you must be so sick of this song by now. That's all.
All lies. All lies.
Well, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
I'm great.
I was just saying, as you sat down, you must be so relieved the show's coming back because, A, you put a lot of hard work into it. Now people can see it. But, B, I'm sure everywhere you go on the street, people go, dude, what up? When's it coming back? Come on.
Yeah, people are curious. People are curious. Yeah, I was just saying that it's only on for 3 months and then it's off for 9 months.
What? Stop that.
I know. We should stop that.
Why is that happening?
It's just a cruel joke.
Most shows that you love, you can kind of look forward to one of the seasons or at least part of a season of spring and then part in the fall. Or...
Not with ours.
I know.
That's what we're saying.
It's been 9 months.
Crazy.
Awfully stingy. Yeah.
I know.
All right. Let's talk a little bit. I know that you guys are famously secretive and you won't give away too much, nor would we want you to. But I do understand in terms of just a big question.
Mm-hmm.
Your character, Sam Merlot, gets the crap beaten out of him this year, right? Like, it is physically miserable for you, right?
Yeah, I don't know how you know that, but this is I mean, if I wasn't a shapeshifter, there's no possible way I could survive what happens to me. It's tough.
Those of you that haven't seen the show, it is basically Twilight for anybody that's over 14. There's actual
vampires
and werewolves.
Vampires and werewolves and fairies.
And other things.
Shapeshifters.
Yep. Yeah.
And many other maenads.
Yes.
Don't forget that from season 2.
It's difficult to keep all that stuff straight. We're going to put up a video here in a few minutes of catching you up in less than 5 minutes. It tells the whole story from the beginning so that you can kind of... I needed a refresher course because it's been 9 months.
Right.
But, you play a shapeshifter. You can shift into anything, but most of the time you shift into a dog?
Well, I think the dog was really the first year. I've kind of graduated from the dog. Yeah. But I can shift... In fact, I shift into... a lot of animals this year.
Okay.
And thereby end up basically naked the whole season.
Always
naked. Pretty much the whole, because you shift into an animal and then you go somewhere and then you shift back and you have no idea where your clothes are.
Yeah.
So you're just.
Yeah. I've seen you nude a lot. I've seen you nude.
This is awkward.
More than I would like. I got to be honest.
Does that affect your eating choices?
No. Not at all. There's no vanity on our show. None whatsoever. You can clearly see by our bodies that none of us care.
What was your, if you can think back a few years to when you started getting scripts for True Blood? I mean, it's, we accept it now because it's a big hit and people love it, but it was pretty far out at the time. Did you have any kind of feeling in your gut that it was going to work or not?
Well, I think all of us, when we were hired, we saw HBO and Alan Ball, and and he'd done 6 Feet Under.
And that's
he wrote enough, American right? Beauty. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You think, well, this has a shot. And the pilot was great. But we shot the whole first year without it coming out. So we were kind of in a vacuum in this small little studio, Hollywood Center Studios. And we didn't know, we had no idea what we had. And it started off kind of slow, but every year it's gotten a bigger audience.
Oh, no kidding.
Every single year.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, which doesn't usually happen. So,
well, I know
we had no idea.
I caught up. I don't think I had a – I don't know. I don't remember what it was, but Kevin kept talking about it. I finally went to Netflix and caught up.
Uh-huh. That's the way to do it.
So happy I did. But yeah, it was awesome to be able to watch just one after the other, too.
It's a lot of information to take
it
in.
It is.
Every episode is exhausting in that sense.
And for a guy like me, where stuff comes into my mind and then it goes right back out again. I have to keep up with it, otherwise I forget
what happened at the beginning by the end. Because
I know there was some kind of a witch, and she put some kind of a spell, and there was a building, and then it had some kind of a force field over it, and then
Kevin, you should be doing the Talking True Blood show after it airs every week. You sound like you haven't. There was a how many werewolves are there on their show? Because you lost a few at the end of last season.
We did.
A little bit of a bloodbath.
There was. I have no idea. I know Joe Manganiello is Alcide. Mm-hmm. He's our main werewolf, and there's a whole thing of werewolves.
Sam's dancing here. He doesn't know what he can say.
He's starting to think, can I say?
I'm just embarrassed because that was at the beginning of the year.
I'm not positive he's on the show. If I could be so rude.
I have some serious dealings with the werewolves at the beginning of the year. And mind you, listen, listeners and everybody else, you need to know this about the show. When you see us at night, it is freezing cold.
Really?
It's cold.
Oh, don't
okay,
make,
we. I mean, look.
Don't
we,
make excuses.
It is cold, and we're usually in short sleeves or naked. I'm not kidding you. There's a scene with me and the werewolves in the second episode where it was in the 20s.
Wow.
All night.
Wow.
Two nights in a row. So weep for us. We're very sensitive.
Not so glamorous.
It's very.
That's showbiz.
That's what we get. That's what we get paid for.
Is this a shrinkage excuse? Is that all that's going on right now?
That's what's been happening.
That's part of it.
I understand, again, say what you can, but is there a new character being introduced this year who is a kid?
Oh. You know what? I saw a picture.
He's not on the show, Bean.
I saw a picture.
I don't think he knows
anything. I saw a picture, and I think it's in Entertainment Weekly, of a kid. And I was like, who is that? So I actually, you might be more up on this than me. But I think there might be.
You may not intersect with your character.
Well, wait a minute. Shot the whole season?
Listen, yes. But almost.
So you've already
shot
the entire
next
season.
Here's the deal. That's not part of my storyline. Yeah. And the only time we see the other people in the storylines is at the read-throughs, and children usually don't come to the read-throughs because they're kind of, graphic. And,
sure.
You know, yeah.
They're kind of very graphic, which is what I like about the show.
I can't believe the state of California hasn't shut you guys down yet.
They've tried. We're
all right,
a little
Sam Trammell is here from True Blood. Of course, it returns Sunday night at 9 on HBO for season 5. Kevin, what do you think about maybe taking some phone calls?
Sure.
And because I love watching Sam dance, and I want to see what he remembers versus what he can say, because we've been hearing from True Blood fans all week when we announced that you were going to be on, and people are crazy to talk to you. So
awesome. they all have their rules in place that they will accept of a shapeshifter and a werewolf and a vampire. Everybody's got the rules that they really want to stick by. Do you get a lot of response from people like that?
You mean like they have their own sort of mythology that they have created and they want us to follow that?
Yeah.
Yes, they're the rigid.
So we'll take some calls. 1-800-520-1067 if you have any questions for Sam Trammell, and we will be right back on the Kevin.
Sam Trammell in studio with us here on the K-Rock Morning Show. He plays Sam Merlette, of course, on True Blood, which returns this Sunday night.
Sorry.
My bad. You're absolutely right. It returns this Sunday night at 9 on HBO for Season 5. The post is up at krock.com or kevinabean.com if you want to watch a recap video of the first 4 seasons. I guess there's one video that's first 3 and then there's the Season 4 recap.
It's very helpful. In less than 5 minutes, it catches you up on every character in the show, where it is, and then there's the highlights of Season 4, and you'll be ready for Sunday night at 9.
Excellent.
We're going to take a couple of calls here at 1-800-520-1067 if you have any True Blood questions. But before we do, Sam, you were just starting to tell us, we got cut off at the end of that song, about your Comic-Con experience, the difference between the first year versus every year since.
Yeah. I was just telling you guys, the first year we went there to Comic-Con, I don't think our show had actually aired yet. So we were kind of standing, in the big conference, the big
convention center
room, kind of trying to sell the show. Like, we had flyers. We were like, please watch our show if it's about vampires.
Hey, everybody, we have a new show.
Literally, people were sort of looking at us. You'd get that up and down look, and they'd be like, no, I don't want to talk to you.
You don't look freaky enough.
Exactly.
And now you need an armed guard to go with you everywhere, right?
Now we have Obama's security team.
You just did. Did you just do the Philadelphia Comic Con last week?
I did. I was in Philadelphia, which is actually a pretty big one.
It is. Yeah, they, I know they had all the Star Trek captains. That made a lot of news, having all five of them there.
Yep, all those guys were there.
All right, let's take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. We've got some interesting ones, including Danielle, who's on line one to get us going here with actor Sam Trammell from True Blood on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Danielle.
Hi.
Hi there. You're on.
Since you work with shifters and werewolves, there's obviously a lot of animals on the show, and I was wondering what it's like working with so many live animals.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I've worked with a lot of different animals. I worked with an alligator that they brought out in, like, a coffin.
Oh, my God.
It was so bizarre, and they put it in the van, and they had it strapped down. They told me it was strapped down. I don't. You remember that scene? I had to open it. I opened the van. There was a real alligator. That was
the fourth season, right?
That was season four. That was really scary because I had to go right up to it. And they told me they had cables around it, but I couldn't see the cables. and the van was shaking, like, back and forth before I went up and opened the door.
It
was crazy.
Sounds like you're getting lied to a lot.
I know. All for the show.
Oh, yeah, it's got cables around it. Don't worry.
All for the show.
Thank you, Danielle, for calling. It is cheaper to just tell you they have cables than to actually invest in cables now.
That's true.
Let's go to this is a good one. Tara. Tara is on line three. Joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking to Sam Trammell. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you guys this morning?
Very good, thank you.
Good morning. My question for Sam was, Christopher Maloney, he's coming into this new season, and I was just wondering how his character and your character, if they interact at all, and how it was working with him.
Well, I probably shouldn't say anything. You know what I can tell you is he's a very fine man. He's a very nice man.
That's
fine
it.
Fine as in, ooh.
Yeah,
fine.
That's what Sam meant was,
but
ooh.
But you're also
I meant, oh my God. You're twisting my words.
Is Christopher Maloney, is he naked on the show too?
Everyone's naked on the show.
Everybody
first
gets
of all.
Naked. No, I'm not sure if Chris is naked, but he plays. Yeah, Chris plays a vampire, and he's awesome. And that's really.
We'll just have to wait and see, I guess.
By the way, Tara, I just wanted to say to you did you tell us off the air? I think about the first episode.
Did I tell him?
Yes, it was off air.
Yeah, it was off air. That the first episode, Sam says he's seen and is.
It's. I have to say, the first episode. I don't. I've never said this, but I've seen is the first episode, and it's. I mean, it's awesome.
Sunday night at nine.
Were kind of all blown away by it. I mean, it's really good. So I'm really excited about this year.
Very excited to watch you guys, all of you, and I just want to tell you guys have one of the best shows I've ever seen on TV, and you're amazing in it.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations on your new baby. I know you had a baby a little bit ago. So
hey, easy. Now you know too much.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And I'm out in front of your house right now waiting for you to come home. Let's go to Christina. She's got an interesting question on line five, talking True Blood. Hi, Christina. Go ahead.
Hi, Sam. Good morning. I'm a huge fan of the show.
Hi. Thank you.
My question is, obviously True Blood's pretty famous for their awesome sex scenes. So I was wondering, is there any sexual tension on the set?
Wow, sexual. There might have been year one, but we're all over it now. I don't know. I mean, with everybody's kind of locked up. Like, Steven and Anna are together now.
Right.
Well, they're married, so that killed that sexual tension, whatever they had, right?
I've been with my lady through all this, so I think if we were all maybe 15 years younger and all single, then there would have been a lot of hooking up and all of that. But as far as I know, there hasn't been a whole lot of that, but I don't know a lot.
It's just work. Basically, what you're trying to tell us is we may be naked and grinding, but we understand we're just there servicing the plot, right?
And it is bizarre because you're having sex at, 6 in the morning and trying to hide, things from the camera. And I remember
things
I did it.
That for some people are harder to hide than others.
Harder than hiring, exactly. Yeah, I did a scene with Rutina once at like 6 in the morning, and we just didn't realize what was going on until we were both naked standing in front of each other. And we were like, oh, good morning. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I guess we're having sex. Okay.
That's never happened to me once. Let's go to Albert has a question. Hi, Albert. Hey, Albert.
Hi, how you doing? Good morning, Mr. Main.
Good morning.
Hi, you're on with Sam.
Yeah, Sam, I have a question. Do you still continue that relationship with that smoking hot shapeshifter? Because, man, I want to see more of her.
You're talking about Luna.
Yeah,
Janina. Yes, I do, and she's gorgeous, and we have a completely. We have a really, you know, up and down relationship year,
fraught with
danger. Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, we do. So we'll see more of her.
But
this
you
season,
will get to see more of her this season.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I just want to say for people that don't watch the show, I think season four. Summer Love was the hero of the when he turned into the boy and pulled that witch's or that fairy's heart out. That was one of my favorite scenes.
Oh, thanks. That was season two, yeah, where I saved the town. Thank you.
Yeah.
Been waiting for somebody to tell me.
Sam's been the hero the whole time, let's be honest.
Exactly. Go Raiders, Albert. Thanks for coming. Hey, one more thing, Sam, before you go. And that is, once you start getting into season five, people start going, you know, people who work on the show start thinking, well, this isn't going to last forever. What do you know about that? What's the big picture?
I can tell you what he's going to say. He doesn't know.
It's immortal. The show is immortal.
Like that. It will last forever.
It will last. Yeah, we're not officially picked up. Every year we get picked up for 1 year. And
is that normal?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. I think Mad Men got picked up for 3 seasons recently.
Yes.
So it just depends. But we haven't officially been picked up for a 6th season, but, you know, knock on wood, we're hoping.
If you're not picked up for season 6, I'm going to burn this place down. And I don't know what this place has to do with anything, but I'm going to burn it down.
Everything.
Well, you've been waiting a long time, but it is returning. True Blood, HBO, this Sunday night at 9 o'clock. Definitely check it out. And go to krock.com or kevinbean.com if you've not been watching and you want to catch up the fast way, or do what Lisa did and get your Netflix on and start getting caught up before the show comes back. So glad we got a chance to meet you, man. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Awesome. And they all have their rules in place that they will accept of a shapeshifter and a werewolf and a vampire. Everybody's got the rules that they really want to stick by. Do you get a lot of in response from people like that?
Wow!
That was A Moment with Kevin.
When I heard it,
that happened.
It didn't sound that bad. But now that you play it back,
thank you, Lisa.
It's unbelievable.
Nonsense! It means nothing.
No, we know what he was trying to say.
I think we must translate it in our head. Because I don't watch the show, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, it's the same in the superhero world. There's the people who follow superheroes that they have a basic understanding of the rules of that superhero and the way their powers and everything else. So when something else comes out about it, sometimes they want to make sure that it follows their rules. I'm still not saying it right, but you know what I'm saying.
But the question, rules. I know what rules are. I can apply sort of a fill in the gaps there. But then you said, do you get a lot of response for that? And I don't know what.
It's a show about vampires.
Right.
A lot of people think vampires should be a certain way.
Right.
So do they get feedback from those fans about that?
When they veer off the beaten path of vampirism.
Could I have said it better? Of course.
Well, let's find out. Let me hear one more time.
No, I'll see if you can say it better.
Let me see if I can put it together.
I just tried 2 more times and failed twice again.
Let me just hear it one more time.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Awesome. And they all have their
rules in place that they will accept of a shapeshifter and a werewolf and a vampire. Everybody's got the rules that they really want to stick by. Do you get a lot of in response from people like that?
All right, that was A Moment with Kevin.
Please try to formulate ideas clearly before you vocalize them.
Now I get it. I get it now.
Okay. Why doesn't Kevin give up? What gives him
the
strength to go on?
Because he has the heart of a lion.
That's right. He must.
Wouldn't the rest of us just unplug our headphones and walk out to our car?
He's an American hero.
Yes, he is.
So
believe
it
or not.
So they always talk in code. So Bean says, do you have that moment ready? And I go, what did I say this time? He's like, how do you know it's you? And it's always me.
That felt good. Hey, coming up right after the top of the hour, by the way, we're going to talk to Taylor Stevens.
Yeah, I don't know if Kevin's going to want to talk to her.
Why?
Because she used to be a BBW model. She used to be a BBW porn star.
Right, but I don't care.
All right, I'm just saying.
I thought just because
she... And now you feel about big girls.
But the game she went to for the Stanley Cup final is the game the Kings lost. I thought that's why Kevin might be worried about talking to her.
Yeah.
But she did everything she could to distract the coach of the New Jersey Devils. She put him on the glass, and she was an internet sensation for people who were watching the game across North America.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to her about how that whole thing happened coming up next. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
She's a Canadian girl, too. I think she's a real hockey fan.
Yes, she is. Maple Leafs.
She was there for real. Sad news for music fans. Bob Welch, former member of Fleetwood Mac. He was the guitarist for that band for many years. Then he had a very successful solo career. He is dead at the age of 65 from a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Oh. Ouch. Yeah,
killed himself. Left a suicide note behind for his wife. He was found in their home in Nashville around 12:15 p.m. yesterday. So sad news. He was the guitarist and vocalist for Fleetwood Mac from 71 to 74. Then he had his own rock group called Paris, and then he went on to a solo career where he had hits like Sentimental Lady and Ebony Eyes. In the late 70s and early 80s, he had a very successful career. So it was, it was tough on him because the band sort of exploded after he left.
Ah.
Fleetwood Mac took off afterwards, but he was an integral part of the band, and when they accepted their award for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they did not invite him to participate.
Oh, that's nice.
He said in an interview about that, basically comes down to the fact that they don't like me anymore. So at least he was aware of it. But so sad news. Let me cheer you up with some better news. It has been announced that this sixth season of The Jersey Shore, currently being filmed, will be the last.
Yeah. All right. Finally.
At least for the original cast of Jersey Shore. I guess they'll bring in new people. But for Snooki and Jenny and Pauly D and The Situation and Vinny and Sammy and Ronnie and Dina, this is the end for them.
A lot of people been waiting to hear that.
Yes, it has. insiders say it doesn't really seem to have upset the stars very much. Sounds like they're done with the show as much as the show is done with them. And they've decided to make the most of their final days at the shore this season. So I'm sure it'll be a very special season.
The season's going to blow, isn't it?
Yep.
Isn't this the one where Snooki's pregnant and then they put her in a different
pregnant
house?
Pregnant and sober, and Mike's been through rehab. Situation's been through rehab, so he won't be nearly as interesting. And apparently Sammy and Ronnie are getting along famously, so... I just say napalm the house. That's how you get ratings.
I like it.
Look, you're done with them anyway.
Right.
It's the final season final for the season. Cast. Carpet bomb. Scud missile.
Done.
Smart bomb.
Or just a big safe.
Drones. Or a big safe. A little comedy. A little cartoon death for that crowd. What do you say? Just a giant safe dropped on the house. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kanye West. 75.
Wow, he looks good. Fantastic.
35 years old today. Juliana Margulies from The Good Wife is 45. Nick Rhodes of Duran Duran turns 50. Keenan Ivory Wayans of the acting and directing Wayans family is 54. That generationally just keeps going and going and going.
Yes,
the Wayans, they stay there. Scott Adams, he was the creator and cartoonist of Dilbert. He's 55. He should be punched right in the nads for that cartoon. Joan Rivers is 79. And Jerry Stiller, comedian and actor.
Wait. Joan Rivers was 79 when I was born.
No, she's 79
today. 79?
79 today.
She looks terrible.
She doesn't look good. If that's what you're getting
at. A bad 79.
That's bad plastic surgery. Mm. And comedian Jerry Stiller, who's an actor, of course, from Seinfeld and from King of Queens, he is 85 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I know what you're thinking. It's middle of the show on a Friday. Kevin and me are just going to take the rest of the day off. They're just slacking off. There's nothing good still to come on this show.
You are correct.
You are incorrect. Comedy Bang Bang, Scott Aukerman joins us in studio this hour. Also, Ice-T joins us next hour to talk about his outstanding new documentary called The Art of Rap. And we're going to hook you up with tickets to go see the great Jack White at the Shrine Auditorium. That show is August the 10th. Tickets go on sale this morning at 10 o'clock through Ticketmaster.com, or you can win them this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'll tell you, we'll make it easy for you. Just be caller 20 when you hear us play a White Stripes song. Okay. How about that? We'll play there a White Stripes song for you this hour. When you hear it, be caller 20 and see Jack White in concert.
Big guy, right. Big Kings fan. Wanted to win on game four. Of course,
yeah.
That's really a lot too much to really expect. Who's going to sweep the finals? But
if you've been waiting, in your case, 21 years as a Los Angeles Kings fan, you can hang on for 2, 3, 4,
sure.
Or 5, whatever days it takes left to win the cup.
But there was something to help get me through it. And that I think is the important message here. And that something is the well, how did they write it in the article? The assets that are unmistakably on display in the front row near the bench of the New Jersey Devils.
Ah.
Yes.
The beautiful Taylor Stevens was all over my TV and became, as we mentioned earlier, an internet sensation when she was seen directly behind the coach of the New Jersey Devils. Unfortunately, it did not distract them enough so that they lost the game. They ended up winning that one. But Taylor joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Tay. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
We have so many questions for you. For folks who are unfamiliar with Taylor Stevens, by the way, she is a legendary, unbelievably famous and popular actress and porn star. 24 years old, 32 double H, if I recall correctly. Taylor, is that right?
34 double H, actually, and not 24 anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, that was what it that last thing. All right.
Yeah,
32 double H on and they're naturals too, by the way, if you like that sort of thing. And a big time real hockey fan, right?
Absolutely. Born and raised in Toronto, Canada. So, I mean, blue and white, Toronto Maple Leafs, sadly, are my team, but you know, I'm always going to be loyal to them. And I think that's what's wrong with the organization, actually, is that fans will always fill those seats for those guys, you know? And so they need a better team. They need a better team.
Well, you have to be encouraged. I mean, you live in Los Angeles now, right? Is that right?
No, I still live in Toronto because of my health and family, but I also have a place in Las Vegas and travel to Los Angeles on a very frequent basis. So,
gotcha.
I'm everywhere.
During the game, you tweeted, "Yep, those are my boobies against the glass, Stanley Cup Finals. yes. Let me know if you see me on TV."
And that was before I went in.
And everyone did, it turns
out. Everyone saw you on TV.
Here's what's funny about that during hockey coverage. I know a lot of you don't watch hockey on TV, but what they will zoom in on the coach a lot, very close. So you don't really – sometimes you don't even see Taylor's face. Sometimes it's just coach and just giant boobs.
You know, it was so funny because I was making a joke to myself. I should just put his head between my boobs, like as a joke behind the glass, because, you know, it's just for fun to distract him. But then, wow, look what happened.
Pretty much that's what happened, yeah.
we have to ask, because those tickets, you know, for Stanley Cup Final, very difficult to get, very expensive.
Absolutely.
Not if you're Taylor Stevens.
How did you get those unbelievable seats, Taylor?
I have a fan. I have a bunch of fans. I have a wish list. And for me, sports and sporting events are on my wish list. So I had a fan purchase me this ticket because he knew I had a really, really rough year. And sports is so important to me. I sports bet. I love sporting events. And so I got those tickets as a gift because I was going to be in L.A. for events anyways. And then all of a sudden, I was like, yay, I just wanted to see the Kings win. You know, I just wanted to go to the hockey game and watch the hockey game. And then all of a sudden it became crazy.
Well, it's hard to ignore those.
Yeah, it is. I'm sure you've seen a bunch of the coverage online, including that one slow motion picture or video of
hilarious.
The coach. The coach is trying everything. I mean, he's only human. Let's give him some credit here. But he's doing everything he can to not look, but he cannot stop from. I mean, he's coaching in the freaking Stanley Cup Final, but he cannot stop himself from looking over at you from time to time. And it's so funny.
You know what? I've seen the clip a million times, and there was a split second when he did take a sneak peek. Everyone had to see that, which I thought was hilarious.
Boobs trump everything.
And he did say a quote, something, I don't remember, I think it was for Deadspin. He did say a quote that, look, guys, she can see me, but if I kept looking at her, I'd only see my kids every other weekend or something like that. Really, really funny. And he's so amusing. And you could see a little smirk on his face. You know, it was really cool. So it's fun to get that kind of reaction out of it instead of some kind of like a bad or a negative one, you know?
Right, sure.
Well, I'm so glad we have you on today, Taylor, because I honestly thought that maybe you were there on purpose to try to distract New Jersey, but that turns out that that's not the story. That just happens to be where your seats were with that fan, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I love being up close and in the action, but I had not intended to be there. I didn't even know, actually, that I was going to be behind the New Jersey Devils bench. I knew that I just thought it was going to be behind one of the benches, so I actually didn't know, to be quite honest. And then all of a sudden, I was like, oh, this is awesome.
How about that?
That is awesome.
Now, Taylor, was that the first Kings game that you went to?
That's the first Kings game that I went to.
All right.
Yeah, not the first hockey game, though, but definitely first Kings game.
As much as this pains me to say, because wow. I mean, wow. But that was our first loss to the Devils, so can you stay away?
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know what? This has been an unprecedented, like, playoff run for the Kings. That's why I admire them so much. Like, it is fantastic. You've only had three losses, one to Vancouver, one to Phoenix, and now to the Devils. Like, this is a great team, and they deserve to win, and that's why I really wanted to see the Cup come out. But I believe that I believe they're going to win. They're too good to not win.
She looks like that and talks like that.
Yeah. Yes, she's the perfect woman. She's the perfect woman. Well, we were just happy to see the Cups come out, even if we didn't get to see the Cup come out. So, excellent, excellent work, Taylor. The website is taystevens.com or playwithtay.com, and you can follow Taylor on Twitter at Tay Stevens. Congratulations on your fun night, and thanks so much for joining us on the World Famous K-Rock.
Thank you for having us. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. You're
welcome. Scott Aukerman, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, guys. It's such a pleasure to be on the show. I grew up here. I've been listening to you for 20 years.
There's no accounting for that kind of thing.
We've only been on for like 2.5 years. We're very young.
What?
Hey, Scott, I love when we have a guy like you on because every single person listening would recognize your face. Very few of them know your name. And that puts us in a challenging position to go, seriously, this guy's famous. Trust us on this one.
I'm mainly known for the incredible scars on my face. So, I didn't want to say anything.
But
I'm Scarboy from the internet. That's, you know me.
When people know you, they probably know you, I would imagine, from seeing you do stand up. I would imagine you get a lot of that. But Mr. Show, mostly, would you say?
Yeah, I worked on a show called Mr. Show, HBO hit. People would mainly know me from Taint Magazine. I don't know if. Which is a terrible claim to fame. I get people shouting that at me everywhere. They would know me from that, and they would know me as sort of the guy behind the scenes of Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah, you were the. What role did you have in that?
I created it with him. I direct a lot of them. I sort of produce them. We can't talk about if they're written or not, but
of course not.
I may have a hand in that,
or a hand in not writing it, depending on what you choose to believe. Right.
Exactly. Yeah, it's 50-50 at this point.
That's one of the all-time great shows, internet or TV or anywhere. I mean, Between Two Ferns is a comedy classic.
And, I think it's The Tonight Show and Between Two Ferns.
I think those are the two, right?
That's one,
and
two.
And you know what I do love? And we spent a lot of time on this show, Scott, talking about how much great content there is on the internet. It seems like that's where so many of the great ideas are going. What I love is that anything goes on those shows. It seems like you get some of the biggest stars in the world, and they're willing to come on there and make a damn fool of themselves and look bad.
It's bizarre, the people who agree to do the show. I mean, when we started having people like Bruce Willis on,
right,
and Sean Penn, I mean, it gets very strange to me to be in the room with people who are willing to come by into a garage and tape a little tiny internet video. It's really strange.
And are willing to be made fun of.
Yeah.
You know, Sean Penn sitting there, and Zach Galifianakis asks, he says, let's talk about your work in Haiti. Wait a minute, is there a Six Flags in Haiti? Now, Sean Penn doesn't strike you as a guy with a sense of humor.
He didn't strike me like that either while we were doing the thing.
No, and Zach says, well,
did he know it was supposed to be funny?
I don't know what he knew while we were there.
You don't have to give him a big spiel at the beginning, like, okay, here's how it's going to work.
A lot of times those guys come in, and we just do the thing, and they...
Wow.
I don't know what Sean Penn was thinking while we were doing it.
That takes balls.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of the people that we saw in Between Two Ferns are going to be making an appearance on Comedy Bang Bang, too. I mean, people like, you know, like Adam Scott and John Hamm. Michael Cera.
Yeah, we have, you know, I used a lot of what I do on that show for my own talk show. So we have people like, you know, Zach Galifianakis is actually on tonight on the first episode.
Fantastic.
We have Will Forte and Gillian Jacobs from Community and Tom Lennon from Reno 911. And basically, I just wanted to do a show where all of my comedian friends could be on it. We just have a lot of fun, and I try to jam pack as much comedy into the show that I can.
So you have about three shows in you, and then you run out of friends, and then what do?
Then I put all my enemies on the show. So episode four is everyone I hate.
It is insane how far out Comedy Bang Bang is, though. This talk show that you do is like, I mean, I don't even know how to describe it because you throw everything in there. You've got a drunk guy. You've got a science fiction theme. You've got surrealist. Well, let me play one clip, for instance, to give you an idea of what the interview portion is like. This is from tonight again, Comedy Bang Bang on IFC at 10 o'clock. Scott Aukerman, you are interviewing Zach Galifianakis. And again, the interview just doesn't go the way you might expect it to.
Right. So, Zach, have you ever been crossing the street and you see a woman so beautiful that your jaw just dropped?
Oh, God.
Zach, you're zoning out there, buddy. What's going on?
Oh, God. I was just imagining if dogs could talk.
I think that gives you an idea of maybe the flavor of the show.
But then on my show, we go and actually imagine if dogs could talk, and we go to where talking dogs are. That's the difference, I think, between other talk shows and mine, is all of a sudden in the middle of an interview, an alien insurrection will pop up, and I'll have to go and deal with that.
You got to do what you got to do. I mean, sometimes you just have to take care of business.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Some shows we recommend that our listeners watch stoned. This one, you don't even need to be stoned. It's not even necessary to do the drugs beforehand to get the same experience.
That would be illegal, but if anyone is planning on watching stoned, I can give out my address. You can go to krock.com, bring something by for me.
Comedy Bang Bang is the show. It premieres tonight at 10 on IFC. More with our guest, Scott Aukerman, when we return after this on the Kevin.
Of Monsters and Men. And
ooh, scary.
Little talks on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:38.
Speaking of music, listening for White Stripes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. When you hear any White Stripes song, be caller 20. Win tickets to go see Jack White at the Shrine in August. Two rap legends on the show today. Ice-T next hour. Scott Aukerman in studio with us right now.
All right, let me break Bang it down. well, my name is...
Wait, I want to hear it.
My name is Rappin' Scott, and I'm here to say it's fun to rap in an old school way. Rappity rap, okay. Rappity rap.
All right, now,
rap.
All right, now Ice-T's not going to come. Thanks.
You were part of Curtis Blow's crew back in the day, weren't you, Scott?
Oh, yeah, I'm still part of the crew. You never leave. They don't jump you out of that.
Scott has a new show called Comedy Bang Bang, which premieres tonight at 10 on IFC. It is far out. Trust me on this one.
It is, and I know Sam Trammell was here last hour and he wouldn't spoil anything, and you guys had a rough interview. Yeah. I will spoil anything on my show.
Okay.
I'll describe everything down to the last detail. Like, people won't even have to watch it.
So tonight you have Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I'll tell you every question I ask him and every answer.
Good.
Kevin's personal comedy hero.
What is he?
Kevin wants to be in the wolf pack.
Here's the thing about Hollywood. It seems like guys come along, they have a unique edge to them, and then Hollywood shaves it off and then turns them into something they're not. Somehow he's become hugely famous but has stayed as bizarre and weird, and you can't figure him out as he ever was.
Yeah,
does he do that?
He has no interest in Hollywood. It's interesting to see a guy become famous and rocket to the top,
right?
Without having any interest in doing interviews or the Hollywood machinery.
That's what's fascinating to me about him, and he keeps his sense of self, which is super unique.
Yeah, I mean, doing the Between Two Ferns stuff with him, sometimes it can be a challenge because it'll be like, hey, the New York Times wants to do an interview with you about the show. And he'll say, nope, before it's even come out of your mouth.
Because your instinct as a performer is, hey, I have a great opportunity to introduce my material to new fans. I should promote it, right? But there's something in him that says, no, not worth it.
Yeah, he just doesn't want to do it, which you have to respect, because it's really worked for him. He just wants to remain true to himself. And a lot of people would say, well, he's a really nice guy. It's not because he's off-putting, or it's actually because he's kind of shy, and he doesn't want to be on the other side of the chair that he is.
He's a really nice guy, which makes it all the harder for Between Two Ferns when he's really saying things that are insulting.
Well, I will. We haven't really talked about the behind the scenes process of Between
Two
Ferns, but
that's our favorite.
But I think we can get into it now because we're going to put out a DVD later this year with like deleted scenes and stuff like
Excellent.
That.
Excellent. Cool.
But he does get really nervous saying some of the rude things.
Does he really?
There's probably one of the biggest jokes on Between Two Ferns was the Natalie Portman one, where he said, "You shaved your head for V for Vendetta. Did you also shave your V for vagina?" And he did not want to say that. I had to beg and plead with him.
Really?
He
because she's renowned for having a great sense of humor about
She actually does. She's, yeah. But he was nervous. He didn't want to say it to him because he's a really nice guy. So finally, at the very end of the interview, I convinced him to say it once. And he was really embarrassed. And so, you know, I mean, yeah, he's super nice. So doing the Between Two Ferns stuff doesn't really come, you know,
naturally at all.
Yeah, being that mean to celebrities.
Anybody that has, I mean, even if you're a mean person, if you sit across from another human being, it makes it 100 times harder to be that way.
Yeah, I mean, for the Jennifer Aniston one, we had actually
Tequila Tequila, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Tequila Tequila. We had, unbeknownst to Jennifer Aniston, we had hired a Brad Pitt lookalike who was going to come in and be the second guest. And but, you know, I mean, to Zach's credit, he didn't want to ambush her with that. He didn't, you know, so he talked with her about it before, and he's talked about this in the press before, so I don't feel bad saying it, but he talked with her about it before, and she, you know, didn't really want to do it, so, you know, we sent him away. But the funny thing about him was we talked to him and said, hey, sorry, but we're not going to use you. And Zach says, do you look like anyone else? And he very seriously says, Colin Farrell?
That's awesome. Is he uncomfortable with fans, with people coming up to him?
It's tough. I feel bad because I, you know, working with him, I'll go and meet him a lot, and we'll walk down the street together, and people are really mean, like TMZ and people like that. They're super mean to him. If he doesn't want to say anything to them, like the TMZ cameras will say, hey, I hope the Hangover 2 tanks, you know, and stuff. So it's
Are they doing that to try and get a reaction out of him? Or, I see.
Totally. Yeah, that's all it is. So
that does suck.
Yeah. You know, I mean, not everyone's as nice as you guys.
That's
Let
true.
Let me ask
that's
you about
very, that's science.
In no way, Scott, are we trying to use you to talk about your famous friends. I don't want this to be misunderstood, because we really are excited about this Comedy Bang Bang again tonight at 10 on IFC.
Thank you.
I have to ask you about John Hamm. I know he's upcoming on Bang Bang, but he, besides the fact that he's unbelievable as Don Draper, and it's well-deserved that he's won all the Emmys and the Gold Globes, every time you see him on SNL, every time you see him on 30 Rock, every time you see him on your shows, it's crazy how great a comic actor he is. Is there nothing this man can't do?
Wow. I'd love to find out at some point. No, he's an old friend, an old poker buddy, actually. He and Paul Rudd and me and a bunch of other people have played poker for over a decade together. And that's the thing about him, is he was always a really down-on-his-luck actor who couldn't catch a break. He would constantly be cast in pilots or TV shows that never went anywhere. And we were always like, John, you're so talented. Something will happen for you. And then, of course, you know, like literally 1 year later, he's the biggest star in the world. But he always is just a really funny guy. And him and Paul Rudd and Adam Scott, you know, they're all old friends. And just always cracking wise. You know, it's a really funny poker game.
It's awesome that there's that core of people, Los Angeles comedian actor types, who stay together and have been friends for so long. And it must be so fun to see what has happened to all these people. I mean, guys like Adam Scott, who have grown up and himself has turned into an industry.
Yeah, it's really nice. I think the comedy community is one of the best communities in the world. We're all really nice to each other. We're all really supportive to each other. There's that whole punchline, that Tom Hanks movie, where sort of stereotype where comedians are really angry and mean to one another, but that's not really true. We're all actually really nice.
Read back
you still do your
angry. Just leave it at that.
Do you still do your Upright Citizens Brigade Tuesday night deal?
Every Tuesday night I produce people have called it the best stand-up showcase in the world.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Which people?
My friend Fred.
Okay. Just wanted to source you on that.
Thanks.
Sounded slightly made up.
Technically, he's a people.
Yeah, he is. He's a human. Well, I don't know, actually.
Oh, okay.
He may be a cyborg. But no, yeah, every Tuesday night at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in L.A., you can come out there and see incredible stand-ups like Russell Brand or Patton Oswalt, Louis C.K.
Names, though.
Yeah, no big people. And then you know, some of the great up-and-coming stand-ups as well.
That's Tuesday night at 5919 Franklin Avenue, I guess, is where Upright Citizens Brigade is. Every Tuesday night at 8:30 for only $5.
Only $5.
And the podcast is free, right?
Yeah, podcast is free. I do not make any money at this. In fact, I'm starving.
Okay.
If you guys can spare.
You look a little thin, if I could be honest.
You haven't eaten in a couple of days, have you?
The podcast is called Comedy Bang Bang. You can get that at comedybangbang.com. And the TV show premieres tonight at 10 on IFC. How many episodes did you shoot, and how many will likely air before they pull the plug on it?
We did 10 episodes, and I'm hoping that we can get through 5 minutes before they cancel it. But I'm really
going to call mid-show. Yeah. Hey, look, we got to take it off.
It's just not working out. I'm really proud of the show because we did 10 episodes and we never repeated a character, a guest, a bit. Every show is 22 minutes and it's jam-packed with the most comedy that we could fit into it.
If you don't mind my saying, you only did 10 shows. That's not an accomplishment.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean.
Oh, I see. Okay, good. That was the joke. Okay, I got it.
And Reggie Watts, I want to give a shout-out to as the band leader. Great. We just had him in here a couple of weeks ago. Dude is hilarious, too.
So. Yeah, I mean, just
and by the way, he didn't mention that he was on your show at all. I just want you to know that's how low it is on his priority list.
Yeah, I know. He's a very selfish man.
We asked him. Any new projects you're in? No.
No, nothing.
You doing anything with Aukerman? No, not familiar with the name?
Who's that guy?
Well, it looks great, Scott. We're very happy for you, man. I hope it works out for you.
Thanks, guys. It's the greatest thrill of my life to be on your show, honestly.
Stop it. Seriously, stop it. I can't keep up with the demands of this job.
Oh.
I've been writing furiously today to write down everything Bean says because it's just
you.
I want to kill you.
You need a voice recorder and just write.
I do. Yeah. And then a secretary to go through and take notes.
Just if transpose the audio tape.
Don't understand the magic of the puppy cam, and I'm no friend. I'm no friend of yours.
I went there.
And it's awesome.
You know what it is? Puppy sleeping on a blanket.
So cute.
On camera. That's
so
not worth filming.
Cute.
No, F you.
You can't use that kind of language, Ralph. All right, listen. We're very limited on time. We have a fantastic guest coming up.
Why don't you shut up about the puppy cam?
I didn't bring it up. Jorge Perez from Los Angeles just won Jack White tickets playing at the Shrine. Tickets go on sale this morning at 10 o'clock for that show if you want to be there, and you should because he's a guitar god. That show is August 10th. Tickets on sale at 10. So thank you for listening, Jorge. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
He doesn't have the fat drummer anymore, does he? She's gone,
he's
right?
Got a different band. He's moved on from the White Stripes.
Okay. Imagine the money he's saving on tour, just on food alone.
How dare you?
I'm just saying. He's saving a lot of money. Hey, speaking of going to see things and tickets, tomorrow night it is a little reunion of sorts. Psycho Mike and myself, we will be hosting Hollywood Babylon up at City Walk. Mike Catherwood will be joining me as my special guest co-host since Kevin Smith is unavailable. So we'll be doing Hollywood Babylon together at 10 p.m. tomorrow night at the John Lovitz Comedy Club up at Universal City Walk. Please come and see us tomorrow night, 10 p.m. You can go to thelovitz.com for more details and for tickets. But I think we're going to have fun because Mike's a funny dude.
Loveline lover boy, Mike Catherwood.
I always like to bring someone in funny next to me so I can do less work.
That's why we have you.
That's right. See, now I know how you guys feel. It's very smart on your part, by the way. Child stars are often given the reputation, I guess, of going down the wrong path, of losing their way, of becoming ne'er-do-wells later in life. They've got that reputation, right?
Sure.
Well, in this case, it may be justly earned. This child actor, former child actor, is known as DJ Daniels. He played Michael Hughley on the Hughleys TV series. He is now facing charges of premeditated murder, gang activity, wow, and marijuana possession.
You're police, kidding. Marijuana possession?
Police claim he's linked to the stabbing of John Joseph, who was attacked outside a Stockton, California bar last August. Mr. Daniels is cooling his heels in San Joaquin County Jail right now and could serve life in prison if convicted.
Wow.
Yeah. So, nice job, D.L. Hughley, for how raising your kid. Nice job. Have a little guidance.
It's his fault.
Kanye West is celebrating his birthday today, and you can celebrate this weekend by camping outside sneaker stores, like many people are doing, to get the Kanye West Air Yeezy 2 sneakers. They go on sale this weekend. Sneakers are a mere $245 a pair.
What?
Yeah, that's all.
I don't know of any other tennis shoe that is anywhere north of $150.
But they're Air Yeezys.
Right.
Two.
Oh, this is the second one. Huh?
Yeah. Or you might want to save your money and buy Yoko Ono's new book. Yeah. She's releasing a book she wrote 60 years ago. She's now 79 years old.
Yeah.
She wrote a book called An Invisible Flower.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood. I thought you said she wrote it 70 years ago.
No, 60 years ago.
60 years ago.
Yeah. When she was 19, she wrote a book called An Invisible Flower that her son, Sean Lennon, found on the shelf.
Yeah.
And said, we have to publish this.
No, we don't.
No, we don't.
Nobody
but they
needs
did.
To read that.
It's the tale of a character named Smelty John.
Really?
Yes. So if you want to read The Adventures of Smelty John and The Invisible Flower, you can buy her new book.
Hmm. Is there any indication that she's as good an author as she was a singer, Ralph?
Twice as good, they say.
There comes my favorite part. Here it is.
This one. Yeah, this part here.
That's real, by the way.
That's a song. That's her singing a song.
That is Yoko Ono in front of people.
She wrote that herself.
She did.
That's talent.
You don't think she just made that up on the fly?
Nope.
Wow. That's impressive.
And Justin Bieber's diehard fans broke into a London TV studio Wednesday night just to get a glimpse of Justin. 300 teenage girls broke into the studio, burst through the doors. Like a zombie attack.
Wouldn't it be funny if that's how he went? Like, literally, finally, they just all got to him.
That would be cartoon death. And just teenage girls is chasing him, and then he just runs off a cliff, and he looks at you real quick, and goes, and he just disappears out of the frame. And then you look, shot of the dust cloud that gets kicked up when he hits the bottom of the ravine.
Love it.
Security was able to handle the girls eventually, but according to sources, they were hysterical. The scene was genuinely scary. Pandemonium as 300 teenage girls tore through the halls of the London TV studio trying to find Justin.
Was he there to sing his new hit? Because I could see why they would be excited about that.
Well, who wouldn't be? Today's celebrity birthdays, as I mentioned, Kanye West is 35 years old today. Juliana Margulies turns 45. Nick Rhodes of Duran Duran is 50. Keenan Ivory Wayans of the acting and directing Wayans family is 54. Joan Rivers, the comedian, is 79 years old. And Jerry Stiller, very funny actor, is 85. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Well, honesty and real, being real is what Ice-T is about, not necessarily what rap's about.
Had a beeper going off like a high school bell. Looked in the mirror, what did we see? Who likes LAPD?
Ice-T. I'm your pusher.
This ain't no joke. This is real to me. I'm Ice-T. OG.
OG. Original gangster.
I'm a gun killer. Better you than me.
Cause I don't want to hear that crap. I'd rather be a new jack hustler.
Death is my set, guess my religion.
I find Ice-T to be the dopest, flyest, OG pimp, hustler, gangster, player, hardcore mother living today.
As do we.
Legend in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Legend in the house, Ice-T.
That was a great, I'm like, wow, this is a cool intro. Y'all took a little time. I appreciate that.
That's our man right in there, Omar. He put that together. So,
Omar, you the man. Can I take that with me?
Of course.
That's my intro from now on everywhere.
Next time you do a show, there you go. You got something to come out to.
Yeah, that's gangster right there. How y'all doing?
We are good.
Well, it's so great to see you again. We had your wife on a few weeks ago, and she's adorable and delightful. She was so fun.
Yeah.
Ice has 20 jobs. He's got the Ice Loves Coco show. He's got, of course, Law & Order SVU. And you are the main man behind this art of rap. I mean, I sense that you did everything on this movie, right?
Not everything. You know, I had some experts working with me. You know, the cat, Paul Toogood, and the people from London that came out and actually helped film it, the cinematographers, people like that. I mean, I just sat back one day and I had a feeling. I said, you know, I don't really know if my music, rap, is being respected to the degree I want it to be respected as. I think now some people think it's a joke. I mean, I'm watching the Weatherman rap. I'm like, people probably don't even know where this comes from. And I said, if I wanted to do a documentary about the craft. So I called up my friends. I said, I got an idea. I want to do an interview with you on film for a movie. But I'm not going to ask you about the money, the cars, the girls, the beef. I want to talk about the craft. And everybody goes, nobody ever asks us those questions, you know?
Yeah.
And right now we're in such a gossip-based culture that you could have a pro athlete on here and all you'll do is ask him about who you're sleeping with, what car you bought, you know, who you had a fight with. Never how did you won the Heisman Trophy. You know, it's like, let's not talk about that.
Yeah.
So I just said, let's do the movie. We did the movie. We took it to Sundance. That was my only goal. It made it at Sundance. It got bought the first day. And now I have a theatrical release for a documentary, which people know that's very rare.
Yeah. Absolutely. No kidding.
Absolutely, yeah. And I thought it was so fascinating because, yeah, you've got the big stars of today. You talk to Cube and you talk to Dre and you talk to Kanye and all those guys are in it. But I love so much that you went back and you talked to, you know, you talked to Cool Keith and you talked to, you know, Grandmaster Mel and those guys back then.
Yeah.
And I'm so great. I mean, I'm so grateful that some of those guys are still alive to kind of tell you how the whole thing got started. That's what was so fascinating to me.
Well, we were able to get Grandmaster Caz and he's featured in it. And that's the guy that wrote Rapper's Delight. He's like an unsung hero.
Right.
Yeah. Because, right. You know, and he's one of my mentors. When I first started, I saw his rhyme books. And then you see in the movie, this dude writes in perfect penmanship. And I'm like, I got to step my game up, you know?
And but you told a story that blew my mind because I've been a fan of yours. We all have for a long time. And I thought I knew the beginnings. You were rapping before there was rap. First of all, I want to hear about that. And second of all, you were in the army?
Yeah, I was a ranger.
What?
Yeah.
Kidding me? Yeah. Tell that story that you kind of touch on in the movie about how you were rapping before you even heard a rap record.
Well, you know, I used to do what they called hustler toast. You know, we would rhyme, you know, without beats and just entertain our friends, say these little player rhymes. And I was in the military, and I heard Rapper's Delight. And I was like, I could do that. You know, and I got out of the military, and I had an agenda to be a DJ, but I found that at the party, I was getting more attention by saying rhymes. So I said, you know what? I just go from party to party instead of carrying this big-ass system. Because back in the day, when you were the DJ, the only way you would be the DJ, you had to bring the system,
the
you know?
Speakers and the turntables.
Yeah, and you DJ'd all night long because that was your system. You didn't let people DJ on your DJ system. So I had a big truck and everything. I said, you know what? I can go from party to party and rap and you know, I mean, I tell people I was rapping before anybody had ever bought a car rapping. So it had to be for the love of the music. You know, now the music is running strong and a lot of people look at it and say, hey, I'm going to jump on that to get rich. But when you do that, it's not really it's not from here.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a way of trying to get paid. And people look at music and entertainment as an easy way to get paid.
Yeah.
But I got news for you. To make it, it's more work than a normal job.
Tell the story, and I'm sorry I forget who you were talking to, but he was talking about the do-it-yourself version of the song and how he thought he could do it easily and then found out that it's impossible.
Well, you know, that was Lord Jamal from the Brand Nubians, and that's how we opened the movie. Yeah, I mean, anybody who thinks it's easy, I think what happens is people see some of us able to rap off the top of our heads. You see the weatherman rapping, people playing with it. You say, well, it's easy. Anybody can do it.
Right.
But I challenge
Justin
anybody.
Justin Bieber is rapping now, by the way, on his new record.
Yeah, but see, rap is a vocal delivery. Hip-hop is the whole culture.
Right.
So anybody, you know, Kesha can rap. You know, but is she hip hop? That's another question. You know,
the answer no.
No. You got to know your history to be part of it. It's like picking up a trumpet and playing jazz, but you don't know nothing about Miles Davis. You know, you ain't really part of the jazz culture. You're trying to be a musician. So anyway, damn, I lost my point.
He thought he could do it.
He thought he could do it. And I challenge anybody: put on an instrumental record, try to rap for 4 minutes, try to keep rhyming. For 4 minutes, you're going to realize you can't do it off the top of your head.
Right.
And then you're going to try to write it. And first, usually you'll write it, but you'll have too many syllables. It won't flow. And then you'll realize that it's a real craft not only to do it, but then to complicate it like Eminem does.
Yeah.
And take it to higher degrees. And in the movie, you see these guys rhyming and you're like Immortal Technique. And you're like, whoa. Whoa. They're not just saying. It's that, like Chuck D, I'm not rhyming just for the sake of Ritalin. They're saying stuff.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And I like the way you shot the movie, the Art of Rap, in that you're doing it on the streets of New York.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing it a cappella, and there's no beat, and there's no nothing, and they still are right on. I mean, it's
fascinating. Well, that's what you're supposed.
Fascinating.
It's what you're supposed to be able to do. If you're a guitar player, I should be able to throw you an acoustic, and you can just go in. You know? And, like, visually how we shot the movie, we shot it in high def, but we also shot it with a Super 8 camera. So
that's
you
the shaky cam, by the way.
Yeah, so you would respect the high def. Sometimes if you just watch something in high def, you don't even realize how pretty it is.
Yeah.
So then we shot each city. We shot New York grimy, and then I shot New York. People said, I've never seen New York look that beautiful. We did it. It almost looked like a jewelry case when you ride around it.
Same with L.A. I've never seen L.A. look that way.
Yeah. We took you to the hood. We took you to the Imperial Courts Project. Then we showed you what we love about L.A. So in the movie, we say geographically where you're from kind of tailors the way the music sounds. So, you know, it's a lot of information going on in this movie.
Oh, there is so much. Something from Nothing, The Art of Rap is the name of the movie. Ice-T is our guest here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It comes out on June 15th, by the way. When we come back, I want to talk some more about some of the people in the movie, some of the stories that they tell. How many interviews did you say you did, T, for this?
We started with 20 MCs. We ended up, we had shot 52 people. I had 35 people waiting when I pulled the plug. Then I had to figure out how to push this into 120 minutes.
Yeah. Every single person you interviewed, I thought, I want to hear more from
I want to hear more from that guy,
well,
right?
The good
exactly,
thing is I have 2 hours of interviews on each person. So this is just, you could call The Art of Rap the film the teaser.
Yeah. This could be a million disc DVD when it comes out.
Yeah, you know, maybe a TV show. You never know.
Ice-T is here. We'll talk more right after this on the Kevin. The movie is called Something from Nothing. It is The Art of Rap. Our guest in studio is Ice-T, who did dozens and dozens and dozens of interviews with almost everybody that you can think of talking about the history of rap. Hey, before we get back to it, I'm going to play a clip. You haven't heard this in 20 years, I bet, Ice-T, but this is a very early appearance of you on The Kevin and Bean Show back in the early 90s.
Oh, no.
You ready
for
this?
Embarrassing?
Yeah, I'm ready.
No,
I'm ready.
I think you're going to love this. Welcome, Ice-T.
Hey. Yeah. Would you consider what we're doing now a gangsta party?
That's far from a gangsta party.
We are still not a gangsta party, but we're still happy to have you on the show. Like you were saying before we took the break, you got 2 hours of tape on these guys. Sometimes you're only able to use 2 or 3 minutes in the movie because you're trying to include everybody. Dr. Dre's part alone is
Whoa. We just segued from that to this. It just sounded like I just answered the question a minute ago.
That's true, yeah.
I didn't know. Okay, now we're back to...
Now we're live.
Okay, yes, see, now we're live. Was I talking about Dr. Dre 20 years ago? I thought I was
going to some now.
Warp Zone. Okay, come on. I lost myself.
The Warp Zone was you're far from a gangster party, and then now we're live.
Okay,
now
baby, let's live. Go. Let's
we're
go.
Still not a gangster party. The Dr. Dre interview alone, and by the way, nice crib he's got. That pool, that view, my God. Right. But the story that he told about how Tupac used to rap blew my mind.
I mean, the thing of it is that some cats can do it like that. You know, when I first started rapping, I would write my rhymes prior to going in the studio. Then I got in there with Melly Mel. They wrote right in the studio. The beat would be up, and they would grab a pen and pad and go in the corner and start writing and stuff. So to hear that Pac would be sitting in the vocal booth and write and then spit it and then say, okay, next track. I'm not going to say I can do it, but I've seen cats that can put it out like that. What? And it explains why there's so much Tupac music.
You do talk to a lot of rappers who couldn't do that, who talk about the art. It's the art of rap, and they talk about the headspace they have to be in, and then they sit down with this, and then, of course, Snoop. It's weed and women, of course.
Of course.
And then, like with everything else in his life.
Right, and then he says, but they really sit down, and they really work at writing it, and then there are just those few, like Pac, who could do it like that.
Well, the thing of it is I think a lot of people can write it in the studio and spit it. Like I say, what I do is I'll write it, and then I'll go in and spit it, but I won't let you hear that. That's the demo. And then I live with that demo for a while till I totally memorize it. Then the second time I go in, now I can perform it, okay? Some people can perform it right off the paper. The trick is some people can rap off the top of their head.
Right.
Now, Jay-Z is known to be a rapper that says he doesn't write rhymes.
Right.
He can memorize them in his head. He writes them in his head, and he somehow is able to put it out. He's like a savant.
I agree.
He can do it. But also in the movie, Tretch says, a lot of y'all say you don't write your rhymes, and it sounds like it. You know, you need to take a little time and break out the pad and pen and work on it, you know? So, hey.
I thought it was also interesting, you spent some time with Eminem in Detroit, and it was interesting to hear the guys around him saying, you know, how authentic he was and how he really did pay his dues and he worked hard to get where he is even before most of us ever heard about him. He was out there doing his thing.
Come on, man. You know, Eminem is a beast, man. I mean, lyrically, he's one of the greatest. The thing of it is, I met Eminem back in the day. I actually was hip to Eminem. I thought before Dre, I had got a cassette of Eminem from one of my boys, you know, because real hip-hoppers, they seek out great rappers.
Right.
So I heard this record about Eminem with his girl in the trunk and crazy stuff. I'm playing. I used to put it on in front of my guys. Then I heard, oh, he got signed by Dre. I'm like, okay, that's cool. You know, then the first time I met him, we were on the Warp Tour. And, you know, he was out there and he had it rough, man. He was on the stage. People that were there, remember, they were throwing stuff at him. And,
really?
You know, it was crazy because the white kids felt they could throw stuff at him, but they wouldn't throw it at me because right. that might be considered some racial stuff.
Right.
So they just that felt like.
But
well,
they were fine with him.
They throw stuff at him oh. and he would duck and roll and finish his rapping and stuff. And I remember he wow. used to get on my tour bus and I asked him, I said, what do you want to be? I mean, what do you want out of this? He said, I just want to be around like you and Dre. He wanted longevity.
Right.
Yeah. Now, his style was so unique because the trick with Eminem, when you're a rapper, you need opposition. You need something to go after. That's what the fun thing about rap. He attacked himself, which was genius. I mean, all Eminem rapped about was how dysfunctional he was.
Right.
So how mad could you be at him? He didn't attack other rappers. He said, you know... And his skill set lets you know you don't really want to battle him because he'll annihilate you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
You don't hear a lot of covers of Eminem songs because people couldn't do it.
Yeah, you know, he has an interesting way of rhyming, and he rhymes in this movie, and he's like pulling his socks up with boxing gloves. I'm like, who writes that? Like,
it's funny that Kevin mentioned covers because I was really impressed that almost to a man and a woman, because Salt is in the movie, MC Light's in the movie, everybody you talk to still has memorized in their heads not only their own raps, but the raps that they loved coming up. They still all know their favorite songs, every word of them by heart. And that was remarkable to me.
Rap is music, you know? I mean, you can sing your songs that you love, you know? I meet people today, CEOs of companies, like, man, Original Gangster was the theme song to my senior year in college, man. I know that album backwards and forwards. And the best compliment you can give a rapper is to say his lyrics to him, you yeah. know? When you see a singer and you can sing their song, that's the compliment. So everybody, I mean, come on, man, you know, Eminem starts spitting Tretch, not only... the lyrics, but he sounds like Tretch. Like, he mimics the person. And that proves he's a true, you know, a student of the game, too.
Right.
The film is called...
I'd like to put this warning out there for people. Never tell a rapper that you don't pay attention to the lyrics.
Yeah, that's what Coco told me one day. Coco loves dance music, right? So, you know, we're riding one day, and I'm talking about a lyric. She goes, you know... I don't listen to the words. I almost wrecked my car. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. We riding around here in this nice car, living this nice life, and you telling me you don't listen to the words? Woman, them words bought this stuff, you know? What are you telling me? And she just like, I don't know how to listen to it. So, you know, now I've taught her what to listen for. I've schooled her.
You quiz her? And
I had to. But now she's a hardcore rap lover. She likes Mobb Deep. She listens to raps, and she goes, well, wait a minute, baby. How old is he? I'm like, well, he's 18. Well, how could he have done all this stuff? I said, well, Coco, a lot of these guys lie.
They're making up stories.
Yeah.
The movie is called Something from Nothing, The Art of Rap. It comes out theatrically, Ice-T, is that right, on June 5th, next Friday?
Nationwide.
June 15th. Nationwide.
Yeah, June 15th. And people that want to get a buzz and see what you guys are talking about can go to theartofrap.com. and see the trailer, or just follow me on Twitter at Final Level, and I'll spoon feed you this game, man, play by play.
Man, let me tell you, we watched just the trailer, yeah. and we were blown away by it. We couldn't wait.
Hey, love is love, man. Keep it moving. Let me play one clip before we let Ice-T go, though, because I thought this was great, and I think it was so hard to pick one thing that kind of summed up the film, but I love this so much. This is you talking to Nas, and you're talking about, well, one of the questions, it's central to why you made the movie.
Why do you think rap isn't respected?
Threatening. We're not supposed to be thinking like this. We're not supposed to be talking like this. What are we doing proud of how we talking with this broken English? How the f*** are we making poetry out of this broken English? Why are you guys bringing street conversation to the mainstream world? Stay in your place. Stay out of there. I don't like looking at you. Fix your pants. Fix your hat. Y'all supposed to stay in the gutter. Get out of here. What are you doing invading my home? Why are my kids liking your music? What's going on? I don't like you. I don't like you. That's all they're saying. Mm-hmm. And we know it. So that's why I'm proud to wear my little sack. I mean, I'm a grown man now. I don't have no business wearing saggy jeans. No business at all, you know what I'm saying? But I might let it sag a little bit, just annoy a few stiff motherfuckers, just because that's what got me here.
Ah, it's great stuff, I see. Congratulations, man. It's so, so nice to see you again here on K-Rock. Thank
you
so much for coming by.
K-Rock is supporting me. If you could play a clip of me from 20 years ago, you know I've been down with y'all program since day one, you know. And, you know, this is one of my favorite stations in L.A. You know, I got a rap and a rock background. So much respect to y'all. Y'all keep doing what you're doing. You're doing it 100, baby.
Thank you. And The Art of Rap is the name of the movie. You must see it. It is a fascinating movie. Thanks for coming in, Ice. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Six point seven K Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:41.
How did Listerine never buy the rights to that song and put it in a commercial?
Yeah,
come on,
Listerine, that's true. Yeah,
Listerine, Listerine, be the best thing. Just people slow motion,
just watch. Went for it, and Gavin said no. I bet, but you're right. It would have been a great fit. All right, 9:42 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Well, 9:42 everywhere on the West Coast, but Ralph is here with the Showbiz Bee. What's going on?
Don't let your mouth get dry, Listerine.
Right.
They didn't do
just
that. Saying
though.
They should have done that.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got to go make a call. I'll be right back. I got to call the folks over at Listerine.
The Jersey Shore cast, it has been announced, will be filming their sixth and final season this summer.
Yeah!
I just totally pulled a Seacrest there, didn't I?
You did,
their
yeah.
sixth and final season. this is it for them. MTV's had an ass full. No, I think they're all fed up. I think MTV's fed up with them. I think they're fed up with the show. But it has been announced that this season will be the last for this cast. Don't get me wrong. The show will live on forever.
Ah,
don't panic.
There's plenty of people in New Jersey to pick from.
This is the last time we'll see Snooki and JWoww and Pauly D and The Situation and Vinny and Sammy Sweetheart and Ronnie and Dina. It's a little sad, isn't it?
Not even a little
not
bit.
Not a bit, no.
Nope, we're not going to even miss them.
May 31st is when they started filming. And they already had 3 STDs in that house since May 31st.
So. We'll talk to LaQuisha on Monday. I think she'll probably miss them the most.
Oh, I'm sure.
The report,
well, she's on the Kardashians now, right, isn't she?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, she's doing that these days. Speaking of, are you aware of the show? Do you ever listen to the Kevin and Bean Show, Kevin? Do you know what's going on at all with this radio
program?
She's
still doing the Osbournes, right?
Holy crap. You're really not good at what you do. Porn star Kim Kardashian in the news.
But I've never pretended to be good
I know,
at what
that's
I do.
True. It's not like there's false pretenses.
As advertised.
You're just you. She is making Kanye West's crew unhappy. Speaking of Kanye West, can someone pull me the story that's on the printer and bring it into the studio, please? Kim Kardashian making Kanye West's staff unhappy with crazy demands, according to insiders. You know, she is accompanying him along with him on tour, so she has been asking for his bodyguards to carry her bags when she goes on shopping sprees.
What a nightmare for them.
She has been giving his employees an endless list of tasks to complete while they're on the road, and also now refuses to eat any produce that hasn't been purchased and prepared the same day. So if you want to give her broccoli, you have to buy it that day and then prepare it there and then give it to her. It's the only way she'll eat that produce.
Wow.
She doesn't strike me as a big salad person.
No, me either.
With those hips. I don't think she's eating a lot of Brussels sprouts, but that's the way she needs it. It is Kanye's birthday today. We celebrate Kanye West's birthday by talking about the Air Yeezy sneakers. Air Yeezy 2 from Nike is going on sale this weekend. I mentioned that people are lined up outside of stores worldwide in an attempt to get a pair of the Nike Air Yeezy 2s. And we were laughing about it. The retail price for the shoes are $245.
Well, they're practically giving them away.
We were mocking the fact that people are standing in line. They're predicting the violence and riots if people don't get the pair.
Sure.
Yeah. Wow. And I thought this was all a goof until I got this story from our internet guru, Lightning, who is also a sneakerhead, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
This story he gave me, thank God, or else I wouldn't have known. There was an early advanced pair of Nike's Air Yeezy 2 sneakers designed by Kanye West that went up on eBay this week. What do you think the final price was for that pair of sneakers? This is the first advanced pair for anyone else could buy them.
$99.
Now, that's a pretty reasonable guess.
At $245.
Okay.
So let me give you a hint and say it was more than $245.
$10,000.
That's a reasonable number, don't you think?
Yeah.
After 84 bids, $90,300 is what the pair of sneakers sold for.
For real?
Yeah. $90,300. for a pair of sneakers.
That's awesome, because next week they're going to go, yeah, but this is the first pair, and everybody's right. going to go, so what? I got mine.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
They look just like this. They just look like the 80th pair.
That's a good point, by the way, Kevin. How do you prove it? Now, nobody buying these shoes is going to wear them, right? I mean,
no, I can't.
You just put those, you keep those in the box, right? Like a Star Wars collectible.
You put it in a plastic case somewhere, I guess.
Right.
You know, in your sneaker hall of fame.
Do you have a sneaker hall of fame?
Sure.
All right.
Who doesn't? $90,300.
Wow. These riots, by the way. Ralph is not joking. That happened earlier this year with that new Air Jordan throwback shoe that came out. I mean, shopping centers all over the country had people getting hurt.
Crazy.
Stampedes.
Yeah. The Air Yeezy 2 is being called the most anticipated shoe release in history. I'm sure it's a small list, but still. And sad news, if you're a music fan, Bob Welch, a very talented singer, songwriter, guitar player, former member of Fleetwood Mac. He had his own solo career, was very successful with hits like Sentimental Lady and Ebony Eyes, dead at the age of 65 years old. He died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound, police are saying. So he took his own life. There was a suicide note left. Apparently he'd been having health issues recently and decided to check out of the hotel a little bit early. So sad news if you're a fan. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Jerry Stiller is 85 years old today. He's so funny. Very talented guy. He was on The King of Queens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With Kevin James. And, of course, he was George's dad on Seinfeld. Joan Rivers, comedian talk show host, 79 years old today. Dilbert cartoonist Scott Adams. Oh, Dilbert. I wish Scott Adams and Dilbert, him and the Garfield guy, they would just get together and just cartoon death on both of them. just a giant piano falling both of them in the same room. 55 years old. Kenan Ivory Wayans is 54. Nick Rhodes of Duran Duran is 50 years old today. Juliana Margulies celebrates her 45th birthday. And Kanye West, as I mentioned, is celebrating his birthday today. He is 35 years old today. So to celebrate, go out and buy a pair of those sneakers.
Yeah, go riot.
They're the most anticipated sneaker release in history. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Have a great weekend, everybody. Go Kings, go.
Yay!
We'll be back.
Seems like there should be more to say here.
Go Kings, go!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Monolith says that's a toss-up.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Ringo for president.
Good point.
Roll another one.
Run and tweet that, homeboy.
Just like the other one.
Holy mackerel!
This one seems to be about to quit.
That's not brown rice.
And I need another hit.
Don't think I forgot, let you slide, let me ride, just another homicide. Yeah, it's me, so I'm a talk on, stomping on easy streets that you can walk on. So strap on your clubs and hat your locks. Oh, loke.
roll another one.
Come on, guys, a little effort.
Just like the other one.
What does that mean? That's not a thing.
This one seems to be about.
Where are the white women at?
I don't have another cent.
If you think that I'm gonna masturbate at this tonight, you're right.
But don't bogart that joint.
That's a terrible idea.
Just pass it around.
I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
How do you keep your head about it?
I just pass it on.
Thank you, rock and rollers. I just want to say how thrilled everybody is backstage with the way you've received our show.
And that's a wrap?
Yeah, that's a wrap.
All right, it's a wrap.
All right. I believe we have seen enough. I know the way out. I have been here before. Thank me very much for coming in today.
Time to disperse. Party's over.
I'm Mark Thompson. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, that was a hard one.
It's only going to get harder.
That's what she said.